Portions of the following program were pre-recorded.
Live from the Don's Appliances Studios, where Pittsburgh shops for appliances, this is WDVE Pittsburgh.
You know, they have the original 72 Olympics site still, like, it's all there in Munich. So you can just, like, walk around. Like, it's, like, really? Public use. You can use, like, the swimming pools and stuff that. Very cool use of that. And I think they have something like that in Lake Placid, too. What do you think became of the Sochi Olympics?
Oh, my God. Well, it was hardly built to begin with.
I know.
What did they do with all those facades that look like stores and buildings?
It was the town of Rock Ridge in Blazing Saddles.
What happened to all those rabid stray dogs?
The dogs go to
with
the hotels.
GoPros put on their backs. Dude, that was the best.
It really was. Oh, the golden days of the Sochi Olympics.
Bob Costas has double pink eye.
They're like, Putin's like, you gave him the wrong poison.
Randy Bauman and the DVE Morning Show.
It's 2 minutes after 7 at DVE. Here's a Channel 11 Severe Weather Center forecast.
Breezy and cold today. Some flurries, maybe a snow shower in a spot or two. High of 37, but wind chills in the 20s. I'm Scott Harbaugh in Severe Weather Center 11.
It is 29 degrees now at DVE. The news is brought to us by Ireland Contracting. I'm Val Porter. A chapel honoring the victims of the Tree of Life shooting is opening this weekend in Shaler. New Light Memorial Chapel is at the New Light Cemetery on Seuss Road. The space features stained glass windows based on the reading temple leaders had planned for the day of the attacks. The chapel opens to the public by appointment today. The Pennsylvania State Police Bureau of Training and Education is now accepting applications for the Hill Impact Program. The free program offers kids between the ages of 15 and 18 who are considering a career in law enforcement opportunities to learn a number of aspects of being a law enforcement officer and other related positions. The 14-week offering is hosted at locations in Westmoreland County and other counties in the eastern part of the state. In Westmoreland County, those interested in the Hill Impact Program are advised to call Trooper Abby Blazevich at 717-614-7971. The Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board says it'll hold lotteries for the chance to buy some limited-release whiskeys in the state. In a news release this week, the PLCB says nearly 1,600 bottles of rare whiskeys will be sold in the lotteries. They'll include more than 1,400 bottles of Van Winkle products, which are considered in high demand and somewhat rare. You have till 5 p.m. Friday to register at the Limited Release Lottery webpage at fwgs.com. Well, the future of mankind is being threatened by historically low sperm counts across the globe. Scientists studied samples from 57,000 men from 53 countries and are sounding the alarm that the planet may be heading toward a fertility crisis. The study found the average number of little swimmers is half what it was just 50 years ago. Researchers say this is serious business, warning that the problem, if not mitigated, could threaten mankind's survival. A German man who found a nearly $5 million check made out to the makers of gummy bears is not impressed with his reward. The man was on his way home when he saw a piece of paper fluttering on the ground, and it turned out to be a check for about $4.8 million from a German supermarket chain to candy maker Haribo. He contacted the company whose lawyer told him to destroy the check, which he did, and sent photo proof as the attorney requested. For his honesty, Haribo sent him a gift box with 6 packs of gummy bears. The man told a German newspaper he thought it was a bit cheap. It is the season of thanks and a good reminder to say thank you. A new study from the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign found that in saying thanks, well, it's not just about good manners. It can actually help your relationship. The study found that people who felt appreciated by their partner were happier in their relationship and their relationship was more likely to last. A class action lawsuit filed against cryptocurrency platform FTX is also naming several celebrities. They're on the hook for promoting the platform that allegedly violated Florida law, misled customers, and cost investors billions in damages. Some of the big names include Tom Brady, Golden State Warriors guard Steph Curry, and Larry David of Curb Your Enthusiasm and Seinfeld fame. The suit blames FTX and their bevy of A-listers for targeting unsophisticated investors from across the country to the tune of $11 billion in losses.
Man.
Last week, FTX filed for bankruptcy and CEO Sam Bankman-Fried stepped down. The crypto platform is also the subject of an investigation by the Justice Department and the Securities and Exchange Commission.
That was all over the news yesterday, man. They were interviewing everybody, I guess, because it's such a high profile thing with all those celebrities that you just named. But they were asking some of these financial people, like, would you ever be involved with these people again? And they're like, yeah, I would. I'm like, well, then that's your dumb fault.
Yeah, I don't know anything about cryptocurrency. I just was like, who's that guy? What's that about? Oh, okay.
No, I mean, it doesn't make sense in a couple of sentences. And if it doesn't make sense in a couple of sentences, there's some foolery going on.
Jay Leno is recovering from the first of several surgeries after being burned by one of his classic cars. Dr. Peter Grossman from the Grossman Burn Center in L.A. says Leno is doing well. He is said to be passing out cookies to kids in the hospital. When the car caught fire over the weekend, Leno suffered second-degree burns and third-degree burns to his face, his chest, and hands. Windy, cold, snow today, upper 30s for the high with wind chills in the 20s. It is a winter morning out there today.
Yeah, it is.
It's 29 degrees now at DVE. On the show today, do we have Big Cat or PFT, Joe?
PFT.
PFT commenter on the show today, and Missy Matthews on the way as well as we get ready for the Steelers game against the Bengals this Sunday at Acrisure Stadium. It's the DVE morning show.
ZZ Top, Tush. It's the DVE Morning Show. Val, did you see that picture of ZZ Top's new bass player playing a 17-string bass the other day?
I didn't. I read about it. I didn't see a picture.
He had a 17-string bass.
That seems like a really big bass.
It's so many more strings than you usually need on a bass. By about 15 strings, to be quite honest. But
what do you do with all those extra strings?
I don't know.
Didn't Billy Gibbons say he bought it for him just to see if he could play it?
Is that what it was?
That's what he said.
I read a quote from the guy that said he saw it on YouTube. And he just got a knockoff of the guitar the guy had on YouTube. But, like, five strings I get, and I understand that, and that's cool. When you get into, the, like, six string, seven string.
Oh, dude, this thing is obnoxious.
Yeah, it's just, like, how do you even play that? It's like he's holding, I don't even know what to, it's like he's holding a little bowling alley.
Right.
You know what's funny about this guy is that he visually looks like he should be in ZZ Top.
Well, I think that's part of the gig.
Yeah.
You know,
what do you look like? You're in.
It's as much. Well, because I mean, all the it's like AC/DC bass line. Dum, 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 dum. You know, they don't exactly need Jaco Pastorius back there. But yeah, I thought that was funny. The 17 string bass.
What was the sketch where the girl sat in the humongous rocking chair? I mean, this looks like a version of that
Tomlin.
With the bass. Yeah.
On the way for you, Mike Pursuit with your sports and the Steelers. Set to take on the Bengals Sunday. I got to tell you, if the weather's like this,
It's going to be.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be even colder. Isn't it going to be in the 20s?
Well, that's what it is now. It's 29, so.
All right. Well, keep your tootsies warm on Sunday because it's going to be a cold one. When the Steelers whip the Bengals' ass.
That's right.
Bill and I got our pick'em segment for you a little bit later on this morning. PFT commenter on the way. Missy Matthews and more. DVE.
DVE Sports.
Okay, Mike Pursuta with your sports right now on the DVE Morning Show. Mike!
Sports is brought to you by Bridgeville Appliance. Steelers continuing preparations for hosting the Bengals on Sunday at Acrisure Stadium. And rookie quarterback Kenny Pickett's rookie season remains a statistical nightmare, but wide receiver Deontay Johnson maintained yesterday progress has been and continues to be made.
It's really just decision making. You see it at practice. I mean, like I said, you practice how you play, and I feel like his preparation throughout the week is, you know, continuously showing up on film. And, you know, we just got to continue to be there for him and just be around him. You know, just continue to make him look good. You know, whether it's a good throw or a bad throw, and you know, just continue to stay on him, not stay on him in a bad way. You know, a positive way. Just he get down on himself, just pick him up. You just want to be there and help him through his throughout the week through his game, prepare for the game, actually. And we got to be on our stuff as well as receivers, you know, as a whole unit. So I believe we're going to continue to do that and, you know, try to keep this win column going, get it back up to where it needs to be because, you know, we show what we can do on Sunday, but, you know, obviously we got to put more points on the board.
Obviously got to put more points on the board. That's been a running theme this season. Pickett's decision-making, it's interesting. He's throwing the ball to the right spot inaccurately. Now if he can just figure out how to throw it to the right spot accurately, you might see some stuff. Kenny Pickett also spoke to the media yesterday, and he knows there remains a lot of adjusting to be done with his game as he transitions from college to the NFL. Pickett acknowledged yesterday he is far from where he wants to be, but he thinks he and the offense are getting there.
Yeah, it's going to continue to get better, and you know I'm nowhere near as where I want to be or where I need to be. So it's a day at a time, and like I said, there's things that definitely you know that we like that I've done that you know I can you know continue to improve on, and there's things I need to get a lot better at. So it's really knowing what those are, you know, find that out, and then going attacking that.
Again, if he's wondering what he needs to get better at, throwing the ball accurately after he makes the right decision would go a long way.
I would say this, you know, Madden said, show me where he's made progress. I don't think that the kind of progress that you make right now is something that is tangible week to week at so much as it is between the ears and understanding what the right decisions are. And then executing after that is like the next step. So like the fact that he is not all of a sudden outstanding right now doesn't alarm me. But you basically have a one-year window for that. Like, you can kind of stink all year. And then when you come back next year, you have to be awesome.
You need to be better. A lot better.
But everybody wants to see improvement week to week. I would say he backslid from the Dolphins game to this one. Even when he threw a pick to lose the game, it was at least in the attempt to make a play and was on a miscommunication. He was just missing receivers this past Sunday.
Yeah, but, you know, and I was kind of being a little smart-ass there, but the decision-making is a big part of it.
Right.
And I thought that they have – slowly but steadily, they are becoming less reluctant to try to make plays. The first play to Pickens, you know, the crossing ground, that could have been a huge play, and he missed it. But at least it wasn't handed off to Najee second and nine.
Right.
Like, they're starting to spread their wings a little bit. They look like a bird that hasn't learned how to fly yet, but they're kind of trying to, which I think is progress. And I think the coaches have been a little conservative about what they're putting on this kid's plate in terms of what they're asking of him, because they don't want to overwhelm him.
Well, they just traded something off of his plate to make it even simpler.
Well, and intangibly, as you mentioned, Rand, I think he's been lights out from day one, going back to going into training camp and the competition and how he's handled that and how he handles himself on a day-to-day basis and how he's playing in the games, the competitiveness and the fire and the energy. That stuff's all real. There's not a stat for it, but he's not overwhelmed by this. He's just not doing it very well right now. And right. I think not being the first thing will lead to him eventually doing it much better.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like, but not throwing an interception in the second half and just securing a victory might be the baby step we need.
That's huge progress. Somebody call 105.9 The X. They won the game. Let's see if they can do it again against those Bengals. The running game, a big part of that as well. Isn't it funny how you're less likely to turn the ball over when you're running for 217 yards as a team? A lot of talk about double teams on this show yesterday and a lot more in the locker room yesterday. I talked to James Daniels about it, the right guard, and he had an interesting way of explaining how when you're trying to make sure you double team a defensive tackle, but don't leave that guy too soon in an effort to get to a linebacker. The timing of the thing's got to be just right.
Too much of anything, like, you know, like when you're cooking, like salt, like when you don't use enough of it, your food's bland. But when you use too much of it, salty. So it's just like something just like that. Just like, you know, you need it, but you don't need too much of it.
Yeah, if you stay on a double team too long, nobody blocks the linebacker. He destroys the running back, and then the running back gets really salty when that happens. So,
yeah.
Got to start to figure that out. I'm curious to see if they can run the ball this week. The Bengals haven't been great at run defense, but they've been banged up front. And, oh, by the way, here comes nose tackle DJ Reader, one of the best run stuffers in the league. He has been out with a knee injury, been on injured reserve for Cincinnati, but he started practicing this week. I talked to our buddy Butch Hobson from Bengals.com yesterday. He thinks the Bengals think Reader's going to play. So that's going to make run defense a whole lot tougher. In terms of who did not play for the Steelers, the usual list of characters of late, Kella Witherspoon, Minka Fitzpatrick, Devin Bush. Kevin Dotson, hip. I don't know if that's just kind of preventive or maintenance-like or if he's actually banged up because he was going into last game. He was questionable going into the New Orleans game. Larry Ogunjobi didn't practice yesterday, but I assume that's just maintenance on his knee. Steelers-Bengals Sunday at Acrisure. Penguins in Minnesota to take on the Wild tonight, 8 o'clock on your Pens flagship, 105.9. The ex-Pens are 6-7-3, Wild 7-7-2. One of these days, Penguins got to get around to the idea of playing not to get scored on a whole bunch of times. And if they do that, maybe they've got a shot to start achieving some traction and getting themselves going again. College hoops last night, number 20 Michigan, 91 Pitt, 60 in the Legends Classic in Brooklyn, New York. Closer to home, Robert Morris beat West Virginia Wesleyan 111-56 out in Moon Township. Baseball Awards Week continues. The Cy Young Awards announced yesterday. In the American League, it's Justin Verlander of the Astros. How about coming off of Tommy John surgery? Missed the last 2 years.
And he's 100 years old.
39. And he goes 18-4 with a 1.75 ERA and 185 strikeouts in 175 innings. His third Cy Young Award, unanimous, and it should have been. In the National League, Sandy Alcantara of the Marlins, also a unanimous Cy Young.
Coming back off of that surgery at that age, it's insane what Verlander does.
There were times this year he was just as good as he has ever been.
And was that his first World Series win?
Yeah, his first win.
Yeah.
Like game win, not ring.
Right.
Yeah. But that was Alcantara only went 14-9, but he was playing for the Marlins. 2.28 ERA, 207 strikeouts in 228 2/3 innings. He was also unanimous. And that guy, too, boy, there were some games I saw him pitch this summer. Just forget about it.
Get about. Val's got your news coming up top of the hour. What are you talking about?
Is gift giving a competition?
Bill and I will have our pick six for you later on this morning. PFT commenter talks about going to Qatar. That's maybe the dumbest idea I've ever heard.
Yeah. Forget all about that macho crap and learn how to play guitar.
Yeah, right. And when
think
we come
you
back,
are some kind of guitar hero.
Our longtime old friend Tom Segura, who has gone on to worldwide fame, has targeted my hometown, Erie, Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
and Erie, Pennsylvania is now responding. They're very mad about what Tom Segura has had to say about them. So I've had this video sent to me upwards of 1,000 times.
Oh, I can only imagine.
So I feel the need to respond and play for our listeners the news report from Erie, which Tom featured on the Mom's House podcast yesterday.
Wow. I really want to see him watch this now because it's so good.
You'll see why Bill's saying that when we come back. It's the DVE Morning Show. It's Randy Bauman and the DVE Morning Show. Hi, folks. I'm Morning Radio's Randy Bauman, originally from Erie, Pennsylvania. Some people like to disparage my hometown. That's fine. I've always said to those people, Val, then don't come, especially in the summer.
Like a big city for me.
That's true. It was the big metropolis.
I mean, it was like, we get to go to Erie.
From Franklin, PA to Erie was definitely like...
Mill Creek Mall was like a heaven.
Erie, Pennsylvania. The big time. Getting off the bus, looking around with your suitcases.
I got to get in a better rhythm with Erie because I've been there 3 times in the last 5 years and it's all been in the wintertime.
Can't go in the winter.
And it is... It's so cold windy that I don't like it at all.
That's understandable.
But I recognize that if I went at a different time, I would love it.
Economically, it's on the worst times that have existed in my life. They've lost so many jobs from manufacturing, from General Electric to International Paper and beyond. It's a different town than it was when I was growing up. That being said, I still love it.
A lot of my family's still there, and tons of my friends are still there. I go all the time, as you guys know, to visit everyone.
Oh, yeah.
They've got to make tourism dollars in the summer.
They are now. They're starting to figure out that the lake is inordinately beautiful, and those sunsets
are crazy.
That's right. It is a great lake. That's why it always makes me laugh when people are like, Lake Erie, whatever. I'm like, it's not like Conneaut Lake. You realize it's a great lake.
It's not part of the good lakes.
You can't see the end of it, you know?
Do you know how you remember the Great Lakes?
No, tell me.
Holmes. H-O-M-E-S.
Huron, Ontario, Michigan. I like it, Erie, Superior. So Tom Segura did some shows at the Great Comedy Club Junior's Last Laugh, which you have been to.
Oh, yeah.
Many times.
It's now a comedy and magic club.
Okay. Well, for years, great place.
Juniors.
For comedy.
Legendary.
Legendary. And sometimes they made you work clean there, which rubbed some people the wrong way.
Yeah, but everybody's worked there. I mean, Kathleen Madigan has worked there. Billy Gardell has done shows there. Like, it's legit.
Yeah, it turned into a great comedy stuff. Tom had a bad time in Erie. And Tom Segura on his podcast trashed Erie when Joe Rogan was on it. And I had that video of him trashing Erie sent to me 150 times. But then the Erie News did a report on Tom Segura's podcast disparaging Erie. And I must have had this sent to me 1,000+ times. For your listening pleasure, here is, I don't even know, is it WICU? Did you see?
I didn't watch. I just was listening.
This is from the local Erie News. And, I mean, God bless him. You're going to think that our news anchors and reporters here are network worthy when you hear this.
Well, I took that clip to one of our elected officials to see exactly how he reacted to hearing what Segura had to say about our town, Erie, Pennsylvania.
You know you're a zero.
Oh, my God. Some think he's funny. Others, not so much.
Just get out. Get out. But if you're born a place like that, you're doomed. If you
Tom Segura shared his colorful opinions of Erie, PA on his recent podcast, Two Bears, One Cave. After a 15-second snippet went viral explaining how he feels about Erie, we wanted to know how the community reacted to hearing Segura's comments.
I didn't find it funny at all. Erie is a wonderful place to live. I feel blessed. I've lived here my whole life, was born and raised here. I love it. Everybody in my family loves it, and everybody I work with loves it.
We asked Mayor Joe Schember, now that he knows how Segura feels about Erie, what would he say to Tom if he had the chance?
I'd say, Tom, just spend an hour with me. Let me really show you what Erie is all about
so
you can appreciate
it. Joe, pause it here. All right. First of all, I just want to say it's bad when the people you're interviewing are better speakers than the actual on-air person.
Yeah.
But God bless her. That's Erie's a startup market. You know, that's
probably her first job.
Yeah, she's doing some Kenny Pickett stuff
she's
right now.
She's doing warm-up.
That's right. You got to have a sense of humor. You can't get really, like, you know, butt hurt because a comic makes jokes about your town. If you go to that town in the middle of the winter, and, you know, again, it had a bit of an economic downturn. There's places of Pittsburgh you could go where you'd be like, this place is awful if you didn't know better. It's the same thing up there. If you know better, you know that's not it. Okay, so I shouldn't have to qualify that it's not a crappy city. And the fact that Tom said it is doesn't mean that it is.
Right. Like, my point is that if you take what he said on Two Bears, One Cave to elected officials, you already lost. You already lost.
The mayor really should have been like, yeah, I'm not commenting on that. I have work to do.
Right.
this doesn't fall under those guidelines. But Tom's that big of a celebrity. And by the way, that was him and Rogan. You know, I mean, Joe Rogan's on the show. This is like, some pretty big names.
Yeah, but what he said, you can't even respond to. Like, what's the mayor going to say? Like, how do you respond to Tom saying that anybody born in Erie is a zero?
Can you play just the mayor again, Joe? Because to me, it doesn't sound like it sounds like he's kind of taking it lightheartedly.
He is, because you should. It's not a big deal.
But I think just because the reporter is so stiff that it comes across.
She couldn't have less of a sense of humor. And
she's taking it very personally.
That's not ideal.
Yeah.
I'd say, Tom, just spend an hour with me. Let me really show you what Erie is all about so you can appreciate it and you can tell the rest of the world about how great Erie is.
Yeah,
however,
see, he's got
not
like
everyone
a
sense. Who saw the clip found the comments outrageous.
Is there more to that? Oh, there you go. It's buffering or something. All
wow.
Right. Best of luck to that young reporter who I'm sure will be finding her legs soon enough.
That's right. She's getting her rookie reps in.
But boy, whoever that producer is, I don't know. Take two. You know?
Yeah. Also, there's an F-bomb in the news report.
Yeah.
Like, I was listening to this thing, and I go, dude, there's an F-bomb in this from the podcast. Like, it's just a runoff of what they're talking about, and she left the F-word in.
So, the production on this piece doesn't do Erie any favors, is yeah. really what we're trying to say, is if you are trying to combat the notion that you're a podunk town, maybe produce a little more professional, smooth segment. That being said, Erie's great. You guys know how much I love it up there. The people are awesome. If you go in the dead of winter, it's hard. It's you have to hard. Know yeah. how to navigate it, know where to go.
The wind does come off the lake.
There. That's what
oh
it
my
does.
God.
That's what lakes do. But so Segura listened to it yesterday on, I think it was on Your Mom's House podcast, not on Two Bears, One Cave.
The newscast.
Yeah.
Laughing hysterically the whole time.
Yeah. Apparently he was absolutely losing it laughing. And how could you not?
How couldn't you?
You know.
I mean, I want this to keep going. Like, I want him to go to Erie and do a
right.
ride along with that mayor.
And just
come
going,
to the
sucks.
Same conclusion.
Sucks. This sucks.
Bring him back in July.
Just drive around and say how bad the town still sucks.
Well, I guarantee, like, it is because he had an experience there. Because, listen, juniors, as much as it was a legendary club, that was not an easy room.
There were times it was really hard.
Was tough.
Yeah.
And if you had a bad experience and you went there in the winter, which you probably did, if you're a comedian, because that's when most of the shows are.
Right. If you went there in the summer and you like spent a day at the beach, you would probably come away going, how the hell have I never even heard of this town?
Take a boat ride.
What is going on?
Right.
It is it's so beautiful. The
totally
bay,
different place.
Presque Isle. It's insane. You go in the winter. It's bleak.
You're like,
it's
why do people miserable. Live here year
it's
round?
Bleak. It's bleak. You know, but that's how I grew up that way. And, you know, understanding you just kind of navigate it. And that's how I think that everybody is so goofy up there. I think everyone has like a very Canadian sense of humor to combat the lack of sunlight that they have
right.
for
the
so many months.
Vitamin D.
Yeah, it just turned everyone has a very silly sense of humor up there.
But like his whole opinion is formed in like a weekend. He doesn't really know what
that's
the
what I'm
place
saying.
Is
he
about.
Was
that's,
on a four block. Like, you know how it
what
is
I'm
for
saying.
Comics.
Yeah.
He didn't go tour the city. Like, you can't take it personally.
If it's cold and it doesn't go well with the club, I hate Erie.
Yes. Right. If you were in a comparably sized city in Iowa, you would probably think the same thing.
I feel the same way about Des Moines, for real.
Yeah. That's,
I will never go back to Des Moines,
Iowa. Des Moines
Iowa.
Probably the same without a lake.
Yeah. They put me up in a microtel 11 miles from the club.
The real story here is, though, him calling Erie basically a podunk crappy town, and then the news report just to talk about it is just like, this is on TV here? That has been like that my whole life. Like, Erie's always been a launching pad for a lot of careers. Like, there's a ton of people yeah. that work at TE that started off in Erie. Johnny Meyer worked in Erie. Janelle worked in Erie. A lot of people, they start out there.
Yeah.
Like, that's where I started, you know. But since I was a kid, there has been terrible television up there. I don't know how to explain it other than my dad.
It's a smaller market.
My dad and my older sister used to sit and just like pick apart the news of how bad it was when I was a kid. They'd be like, look at what she's wearing right now. Like, you know, the wardrobe choices that people would have and stuff. And just their lack of broadcasting acumen, which would seem to be a prerequisite for being on TV.
What was
it never has been up there.
There's always a farm system.
What was the documentary with the guy with the bomb around his neck? Or
yeah.
The pizza bomber one, yeah.
The pizza bomb. I mean, the clips from the news in that documentary were amazing.
It's a small town, guys, you know?
Yeah.
It's the best. I love it there. Absolutely.
It's a small town, but not to Val.
It's a big town.
It's a big town.
I will say this, though. They always had great sports announcers. I don't know how to describe it, but like, or what that was. But for some reason, the sportscasters up there were always great. So that being said, I disagree with Tom Segura and remain a huge fan of him and his comedy. And I look forward to talking with him again. I didn't want to bring, because Bert brought it up when I was hanging with Bert. And I was like, yeah, that's my hometown. He's like, oh, he just kind of like laughed at, you know, he's like, oh, yeah, he hates it.
Right. Like, he's not joking.
He's got to do a show up there and let people pick it and stuff. Like, he can get so much material out of it because people will pick it. They'll be mad.
We should book a show with him up there in the summer and go up and broadcast.
It's a great idea.
Yeah, but if it's the summer, he's not going to do it.
All right, we got to go to a commercial break. Val has your news when we come back. What are you talking about?
Is gift giving a competition? We'll talk about it.
PFT commenter coming up from Pardon My Take, 8:15. He's going to Qatar for the World Cup, which is absolutely stupid. And I hope he reconsiders. Missy Matthews coming up at 8:45. We'll talk Steelers, Bengals. That's a 4:25 kickoff here this Sunday on your radio home of the Steelers, 102.5 DVE.
Live from the Don's Appliances Studios, where Pittsburgh shops for appliances. This is WDVE Pittsburgh.
I have to ask you about the World Cup. It's not off to a great start in Qatar. Did you see what happened with the Dutch TV crew?
No, but did you see what happened with Grant Wall?
No.
Grant Wall, the noted U.S. soccer writer, was taking photos of something on the wall of Qatar. It was like the World Cup slogan, something innocuous, and the security guard made him delete it, forced him to delete it. It shouldn't be there, period. It shouldn't be there on any number of levels.
Right, yeah.
Okay, from a soccer perspective, the World Cup's in the summer. They moved it to November to accommodate the weather there and to accommodate the money they got, the corruption that got the World Cup in Qatar in the first place. And it's also in a country where homosexuality is a crime. The stadiums were built with slave labor. Like, yes. Thousands died in the construction.
Randy Bellman and the DVE Morning Show.
You know, Mark Madden being all politically astute about stuff is always, like, interesting. And I would assume his take on that would have been completely different just because everyone else is in concert with what he just said. So it always kind of astounds me when I'm like, oh, Mark, you're on the same page as everyone else. Like, aren't you pre-programmed to immediately go, oh, you hate it? I like it.
I love that it's in Qatar.
I love Qatar. Slaves are great.
They've deserved this.
Yeah.
They've been trying every year.
It's a nightmare. It's a total nightmare. Did you watch that video of them going up to the Dutch cameraman? And the guy's like, I will smash your camera. He's like, go ahead. Smash my camera. Smash it. And because it's in Dutch and he's speaking to them in English, it starts subtitling in Dutch the entire time. And I'm not sure why he's speaking English to the, I don't know, what do you call them, Qataris? I believe so. Or Nintendos. Either way. Nintendos. The World Cup is going to be an absolute mess. And PFT commenter from Pardon My Take is planning on going. We're going to talk to him at 8:15. Oh, I think it's a big mistake. I think he's making a big mistake.
Yeah. I mean,
they don't fool around over there.
I mean, wouldn't go to Qatar.
Funny stuff.
Right. Even if the Steelers were playing there.
The Steelers playing in Qatar.
Because I always think about it in terms of like,
what would
get me there? And not even the Steelers could do it.
No.
But you got to figure, like, I mean, you know, the NFL is expanding. I mean, they're playing games in Mexico City. They're playing games in London. They're playing games in Munich. How much longer until we end up somewhere kind of shady?
Oh, I mean, the LIV golf tournament, you watch. Roger Goodell's going to be like, I don't know, the Riyadh Raiders has a good ring to it. Val's got your news right now. BFT, by the way, will be on at 8:15. What's going on, Val?
It's 11 after 7 at DVE. Here's a Channel 11 Severe Weather Center forecast.
Breezy and cold today. Some flurries, maybe a snow shower and a spot or two. High of 37, but wind chills in the 20s. I'm Scott Harbaugh in Severe Weather Center 11.
It's 28 degrees at DVE. The news is brought to us by Keystone Basement Systems, highest rated, most trusted, KeystoneBasementSystems.com. Pennsylvania Governor-elect Josh Shapiro is easing into his new role at his first news conference at the Capitol yesterday. He said he will remain as Attorney General until he's sworn in as governor January 17th. He said he'll provide his nomination to the state Senate for a person to succeed him as attorney general. That person will serve the remainder of Shapiro's four-year term, which will last through 2024. Nearly two dozen recruits training with the L.A. County Sheriff's Office were injured yesterday when a driver barreled into them as they were on an early morning run. Oh. Officials say the recruits were on an early morning jog when a car driving the wrong way slammed into them before hitting a light pole. 22 recruits were injured, including five critically. The 22-year-old driver who suffered minor injuries was arrested.
I think about that every time I'm running on a main road. Like, I don't really like this. It's why I love trail running, because it's just, it's so dangerous. I mean, people aren't paying attention. Somebody jumps the curb, and that's it.
Do you run against or with traffic?
I run against, because I want to see. I want to see it.
Yeah.
I want to see it coming. I don't want to get clipped.
You're supposed to run against that.
Yeah, the opposite
I guess.
Side.
I mean, I don't run on major roads because I don't run. I don't like running.
What about walking?
Great at walking every day.
What about walking on big roads on the side? I mean, that's the same thing.
Yeah, I don't like that. I used to walk my dog when I lived on Mount Washington down McArdle and back up.
Ooh. Oh, my gosh.
Down is not so bad.
Is there a sidewalk?
So there is a sidewalk.
Tiny.
But when I first moved there, they didn't even have barriers on the sidewalk.
Oh, my goodness.
And the first time I did it, I was like, this feels not okay. And then they put the barriers up not long after that, and then I would go. And even then, it just kind of feels like, I don't know, it's so narrow going down that road.
Yeah.
Elon Musk has issued an ultimatum to the remaining Twitter employees who haven't been fired, demanding they agree to work long hours at high intensity or get 3 month severance.
This guy is out of his mind.
Musk said a company-wide email with a subject line, a fork in the road. He writes, going forward to build a breakthrough Twitter 2.0 and succeed in an increasingly competitive world, we will need to be extremely hardcore. This will mean working long hours at high intensity. Only exceptional performance will constitute a passing grade. That email included a link to a page where employees have to click yes or no to agree to his demands.
Oh, like, my God.
Do you like me? Check yeah, yes right. or no.
What a douchebag.
It says pick anyone who has not done so by 5 p.m. tomorrow, which is today, will receive 3 months of severance, adding whatever decision you make. Thank you for your efforts to make Twitter successful. Since taking over Twitter, Musk has fired half of the full-time employees as well as the top executives.
Would you like to stick around for me to fire you, or do you want to quit now?
Pick a color. Red? Okay. R-E-D. You're fired.
Yeah. Can you imagine? That sounds like something we'd have to sign here, to be quite honest with you.
I wonder what's going on at SpaceX and Tesla. Are they just having keg parties? Like, Dad's away. He's all pissed off with his new job. Let's hang out.
Well, did you see what he said? He's like, and if you work extra hard, I'll reward you with stock.
Yeah.
It's like, you mean the plummeting stock?
If you work extra hard, I won't pay you with my own money.
It's there's a lot of reasons why you could admire this guy, but I think there's just far too many to not be a fan of his. He drives me absolutely crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's stuff like this where I go full Bernie Sanders. Like,
yeah,
why are there billionaires? Yeah. Like, do you need that much money?
I mean, it was a bad week for the huge narcissists in the world. You know, like him and Trump and Kanye. Like, these guys have had a little bit of a comeuppance in the last couple of weeks, but he is not veering from this tact at all. He's only doubling down on being a heel. Like, he is openly mocking elected officials when they're like, hey, you have to fix this because people are putting out fake accounts with my name on them. And, you know, this is bad for society. Mm-hmm. And he's going, maybe it's because you're such a joke. Everyone thinks you probably would say that. Mm-hmm. I don't remember if it was Chris Coons or who he had said that to. But, you know, at what point, Val, did everyone decide, we can do whatever we want. We have no responsibility to be a member of society. Mm. What did you say?
It's been a few years.
About 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
There was this social construct called society where we all agreed to be,
decent.
You had to carry your weight to a certain level at least. And everyone just decided at one point in the last decade or so, F it.
Well, I mean, these social media platforms ushered that new vibe in. I mean, that like it, all the engineers, all the people out there in Silicon Valley basically said that the internet is its own sovereign nation. It's not subject to your laws and regulations.
Your feeble laws and regulations.
That's what these nerds thought, that they were just literally creating their own government, their own land. That's what those nerds did.
Yeah.
They did it.
Well, here's an easy way to save a little cash. Stop using so much laundry detergent. There's a good.
I always do this. I always use like half a cup.
A half a cup?
Yeah.
You're like using way too much.
Well, half of what you're supposed to use.
Oh, okay. Well, there is a good chance most people are overdoing it. Someone talked to some laundry experts. How much does that pay?
I don't know. I'm still paying off my loans for my laundry degree.
What's the schooling for that?
That included Whirlpool's brand manager, and using too much soap can actually make your clothes less clean. Washing machines work by rubbing clothes together to remove dirt, and soap helps with that. But if you use too much, it makes them slick, so there's not enough friction. So how much should you be using? The answer is probably less than what the bottle recommends. A small load might need as little as a tablespoon of detergent.
A tablespoon?
Two.
Just a pinch?
Yes, two tablespoons for larger loads. To put that in perspective, a shot glass is 3 tablespoons. So if you're using more than a shot of laundry detergent, it's too much. And if you have a high-efficiency washer, it's even less. They say as little as a teaspoon for small loads and 2 to 3 teaspoons for bigger loads.
I'll tell you what's super annoying is my dryer. I have one of those fancy eco dryer thingies.
Yeah.
I don't think it's fancy. Actually, it's not fancy. And that's the problem, is it pretends it is. And then it's like, oh, as soon as something's dry, we'll detect it and we will stop drying your clothes. And the problem is, like, it'll detect one little patch on a piece of clothing and be like, done. You know, and the rest of the stuff is sopping wet.
Right. Mine's the same way.
And so you hear like, you go downstairs, you're like, this isn't done.
Everything's damp.
And then you're just having an argument with an inanimate object. Why do you think this is dry, dryer?
They say you should start by cutting the recommended amount in half that's on the bottle and see how your clothes look, and then, you know, adjust from there. Less detergent, they say, can also prevent clothes from fading, and it is easier on your washing machine.
I mean,
so just trying to help you today.
Yeah, I usually put, like, you know where the line is on those little cups?
Yeah.
I usually put, like, depending on the size of the load of laundry, I put, like, you know, half for a full load and then adjust accordingly.
That's probably a good way to go.
Yeah. Just a tiny little cap full.
But sometimes the clothes I'm putting in there, I'm like, I should probably put chlorine in this. acid.
Well, you could color safe bleach.
I'm a big bleacher. I will bleach the bejesus out of any. I don't care. All my workout clothes, socks, undies. Forget
undies.
It.
You bleach those.
Bleach the bejesus out of them. No fumundies for me.
They have like a sport detergent too.
What's
really
the difference?
Scented.
Yeah. What are we doing?
It's really strong.
Joe Montana made it.
Well, we are quickly approaching the holidays. What is it? 5 weeks to Christmas. So is gift giving a competition? Seems a lot of people are worried about others out gifting them this holiday season. In fact, a survey found 62% said they want to be the best gift giver in the family this year. Of those surveyed, 24% said their mom was their biggest competition in the gift giving arena.
I mean, I love giving good gifts.
Me too.
It's something that I do really, really enjoy.
You got to pay attention.
Yeah.
To give good
gifts. You got
to
nail it.
My family is not good gift givers. Never have been. It's not a thing. Nobody complains about it. Nobody cares. I've told you the story many times. My dad holding up a present he had not opened for me saying, can I return this in Erie or do I have to go to Pittsburgh?
See, my dad.
Well, Dad, why don't you open it? Maybe you'll like it.
My dad is different. Like, he tries to trick us. Back in the day, I used to just shake the present and guess what it was with incredible accuracy, and it pissed everyone in my family off. So now my dad will get me, you know, an air conditioning sized box, put a brick in it, and like wherever my gift is, like, not even on location. But they just got me a gift for my birthday, and it was a shoebox, and I opened up the present, and it was a pepperoni log, a brick of Fontanella cheese, and some grapes. My kids were cracking up. They're like, hold on, I got to get a picture of this. This is terrible. I was like, this is great. This is a great snack.
That is awesome.
It's a wonderful little gift.
Yeah. I mean, Fontanella cheese, a little grapes and cheese, or the pepperoni.
Oh, yeah.
That's a W.
My grandma used to make that snack all the time. I love it. It's the perfect combination.
I know. You got me on that. I started buying that after you
told me. Did you really? Yeah. It's hard to find Fontanella. It they is. Don't have it everywhere.
Every once in a while, a Giant Eagle has it, but not often.
Did your family put gifts under the tree before Christmas?
Yep.
Yeah.
A couple.
So, like, as they would wrap them, they would just
not
put
the
them
Santa no. gifts. The Santa gifts no, came when Santa came.
Yeah, but, right.
Yeah, right. But the other ones.
Those are the ones I would shake. I'd go under the shake. Ah, that's closed. Put it back.
Right. You what can kind of tell, you know, what something is.
Are you putting your tree up before
when?
Thanksgiving?
Ugh.
I mean, almost did last weekend.
I feel like it. I mean, it's cold enough now.
I saw a couple trees up last night when I was driving around the East End, and I saw them in windows.
I'm looking at the weather, and if there's any break in this, I don't care when it is, I'm putting up everything.
Like 2 weeks ago when it was warm to put your lights
up. Yeah, but nobody did that.
You don't have to plug them in. Just get them up when it's warm out.
I have one of those, the table on my back patio, you know, like mm-hmm. the picnic table, outdoor table. It's stone on top. I got like a screaming deal because it was like all chipped. And I was like, this thing's awesome. But you have to seal it every year. And I always wait until it's way too late. And I went to let the dog out this morning. And there's 2 inches of snow on it. And I'm like, son of a
bitch. Should have sealed that.
And then seal it again. That thing kind of negates my screaming deal when it only lasts for 5 years.
I did that with everything. Everything that I bought for outside, left it out there. It's gone.
You know why I
it's
do
ruined.
That? One time I bought a grill from Home Depot, a Weber. And I'm loading it into my truck. And this guy, and nobody asked him, he was just a customer. He goes, you going to buy a cover for that? And I'm like, I don't know. It's a grill. And I don't know. He's like, you got to get a cover for it. You're not going to get as much life as you could out of that grill. And just to defy that guy, I was like, yeah, no, I don't think I need a cover. How do you like that? And then the thing lasted for like 12 years. I just replaced the grates all the time. And every year I'd be like,
you're looking for that guy?
In my head, I was still having that argument with the guy from, a decade plus earlier. By the way, speaking of the weather, it is going to get a little warmer for Thanksgiving. Like it'll be in the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
This weekend, though, the NFL games are going to be awesome. Buffalo is expecting between 3 and 6 feet of snow for the Bills-Browns game.
Wow. Get the snow blowers out for the seats.
That is going to be so fun to watch.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
They have to do. We're going to do a quick break, come back. Mike will have your sports. Bill and I will have your pick six segment coming up at 7:45. PFT commenter, 8:15 this morning. Missy Matthews talks Steelers-Bengals at 8:45, your Bud Light Game Day Bar of the Week. Danny's Bar and Grill in Westview. 250 Bud Light, 16-ounce drafts during all Steelers games. Bud Light for the fans.
DVE Sports.
Mike and I take a break from talking about the crown to present this sportscast for you here on the DVE Morning Show.
The newly crowned quarterback.
Brought to you this hour by Dormont Appliance. That newly crowned quarterback, Kenny Pickett, and the Steelers offense left some plays on the field last Sunday, even though the Steelers were able to beat the Saints 20-10, and in the process, a relative avalanche of offensive production and points amassed.
Yeah.
20. Can you believe that? One of the goals this Sunday against the Bengals is going to be to cash in more often.
Yeah, I mean, there were some ones down the field I definitely wish, I had back some ones early on, hit more towards the second half and the back half of the game. But that's just kind of, how it goes. We're going to take it, a week at a time. Most important thing is we got the win. But there's definitely, things to build off of and things to learn from.
Yeah, even when things went right, sometimes they went wrong. That's kind of the state of the Steelers offense right now. Example A of that, the pass that Deontay Johnson caught for a first down and then turned into a second and short by not only jumping back the wrong way, but it looked like he almost even lowered his shoulder and tried to take on a defender right. to get a couple of extra negative yards, maybe make that a second and five. Deontay Johnson talked about that yesterday. Stuff happens.
Like I said, just trying to make a play on the football. I mean, make a play after the catch, actually. I mean, she's expecting the defender to come a certain way sometimes, and they don't. Like I say, stuff happens. I mean, it's not like I try to do that on purpose or anything. I mean, I know what I can do. Just got to make sure I'm going in the right direction next time. That's all.
He does that a lot, though.
He did it last year in against Green Bay. I think it's born out of a desire to make a huge play.
Right.
And
the thought that he can.
And they're maybe all feeling a little pressure to do that because they come with such infrequency. But my advice to them would be, if you know you got the first down, take it.
Get up
because
field.
First downs are hard to get for this group. So.
I was impressed that he knew where the sticks were to begin with. You know what I mean? In the route. Yeah. I'm like, this is great.
Oh, wait a minute.
What was he doing?
Oh, we don't do this. Come on. I got to back this up a little bit. The running game was outstanding. 217 rushing yards, the most since the Steelers rushed for 240 against Buffalo in 2016. Double team's a big part of that. That's been kind of a season-long project to figure that stuff out up front. They think they've got it figured out now in terms of the timing of it. A lot of the talk this week among the players has been about this is where people talk on offensive line play about consistency, cohesion, knowing what the guy next to you is going to do. Guys have to know how to execute this kind of thing. And now they're figuring it out, but it's still going to take some adjusting from week to week, according to center Mason Cole.
Every week it changes a little bit, right? Every week we schematically change a little bit. Style of defenses we play change a little bit. So, you know, if a defense is hitting it, linebacker's hitting it downhill faster, the double teams are going to be quicker. If they're kind of sitting back there, you can hang on your double teams more. And so each week it's little adjustments and trying to figure out what we're doing schematically and what the defense is doing schematically and just knowing how physical we can be on the down guy and when we have to come off.
They're going to have to come off pretty quickly this week because the Bengals' inside linebackers come downhill, Jermaine Pratt and Logan Wilson. You might not necessarily remember what that looks like if you've been watching Devin Bush play this year, but these guys charge hard, and they've got a couple of supreme run stuffers up front in B.J. Hill and D.J. Reader. Reader is still on the reserve injured list, but the suspicion in Cincinnati is he's going to be activated in time to play the Steelers. Those guys are hard to move, but you can't stay on that double team too long because the inside guys are going to be charging the gaps. So this is going to be a good challenge. We'll see how much progress the Steelers' offensive line has made. Has there been any unit that's had more of a wild pendulum swing in terms of how it's being evaluated this year than the Steelers' offensive line?
No.
Season started, they suck. Then they have a decent game. Oh, they're good. Oh, they're better than last year. No, they're not. They still suck. It's been crazy. They need some consistency out of those guys. Not all of that wild analysis has been unjustified, but if they can do what they did last week, they got a shot to beat the Bengals Sunday at Acrisure Stadium. Penguins taking on the Minnesota Wild tonight in Minnesota, 8 o'clock on your Pens flagship, 105.9. The ex-Pens 6-7-3, the Wild 7-7-2. Jake Guentzel, 169 career goals with the Penguins, currently tied with Chris Kunitz for ninth place in franchise history. He's in his seventh season. His next goal, and he gets ninth place all by his lonesome. Mike Bullard is eighth with 185. Guentzel, if he keeps going and stays here, I mean, he's maybe halfway through his career. He could be up there with the Lemieux, Crosby's, Malkins, Yagers, Stevens. Guy's just goal-scoring machine and one of the more unlikely-looking goal-scoring machines.
Right. He's on the other end of the spectrum from Phil Kessel. Like, as sloppy as Phil Kessel looks, you look at Jake Guentzel and you go, how is this guy surviving the NHL? How is he not getting broken in half on the boards?
It's not like he's a perimeter player. He goes to the net and the dude.
Oh, he's fearless.
Puts his nose over the puck. Pens are wild tonight in Minnesota. Your American-born hockey player note of the night, Trevor Moore of the Kings last night, became the first California-born player to register a hat trick for a California-based team. He had three goals in the Kings' 3-1 victory over the Edmonton Oilers. He is a product of the University of Denver. He's in his fifth NHL season. Three goals for a California-based team. It's very similar to the Bo Bennett three injuries in one game by a California-born player.
The Bo Bennett hat trick.
College hoops last night. Number 20 Michigan pounded Pitt 91-60 in the Legends Classic in Brooklyn, New York. Pitt falling to 1-2 on the season. Robert Morris improves to 2-1 with a 111-56 victory over West Virginia Wesleyan. Justin Verlander gets his third career Cy Young. He was announced yesterday as the AL's Cy Young winner. Sandy Alcantara takes home the Cy Young in the National League. Both of those awards, Randall, unanimous.
And who can argue with it?
Apparently I can. No, I don't think he should win any award. If he's married to Kate Upton.
That's the only award.
That's the award.
Yeah.
That's the award.
You already won.
You get to play baseball. It's all right.
It's weird because I saw him with his kids, you know, the other day. And I was like, oh, that's his and Kate's kids. I'm like, oh, they're like a happy married couple now. I just remember when they started dating, and it was just like...
It was wild.
They were like having sex on the dugout, you know?
Now they're raising kids on that dugout.
Yes, that's right. Fouls News, top of the hour. What do you got?
We're going to talk coming up about... Oh, let me look here. Story that has made national news, local story, though. A guy's iPhone nailed him in a carjacking.
Oh, wow. You know, I'm surprised the iPhones don't... catch more
tell
people
on you more often.
Yeah. PFT commenter 815 from Pardon My Take. We'll ask him about going to Qatar when we come back. Bill and I give you our pick six for the weekend. It's coming up here on the DVE Morning Show. It's your radio home of the Pittsburgh Steelers, 102.5 DVE. Randy Bauman and the DVE Morning Show. Our pick six segment sponsored by Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook. Download the Bet Rivers app today. It's a whole new game. This is where Bill and I pick our favorite random six games of the weekend and give you our assessment on who you should bet on. Bill, first game tonight, Thursday Night Football, Titans at Packers -3.
You know, I don't even think I hate Baltimore as much as Aaron Rodgers hates the Green Bay Packers. He thinks the coaches suck and most of the players should be benched. Probably hates cheese, too. But last week, they might have bickered their way into an identity. Run the ball and take some shots in the passing game. Rodgers only threw 20 passes, and they ran it 39 times. Play good defense and eke out wins. They finally found out who they are. They're the Titans. Cue the Spider-Man meme. Even though I can think of few things that would suck more than being freezing and having to tackle Derrick Henry, I'm taking the Spidey that's at home in this one. Green Bay Titans eke out a win against the Tennessee Titans this week.
According to Sports Illustrated, this is the cheapest ticket of the weekend at only $46 available online.
Gotta be wrong.
Which means Al Michaels could buy 372,000 tickets for this game with his annual salary from Bezos. 16 mil he gets paid to watch these crap fests. The Packers are wearing the old school unis for this one, all white, which is also how Wisconsin votes. Aaron Bhagwan Rogers Nietzsche got his groove back, but the Pack sucks against the run, and Derrick Henry's going to cut the cheese more than my aunt at Thanksgiving dinner. Take the Titans. Next! Browns at the Bills -8.5.
Josh Allen has always looked like a dude from Turtle Creek, but last week and late in games recently, he's been looking worse than two turtles bumping shells in a creek. Time winding down. Allen back to pass. Ooh. All the Bills have to do is run the ball out of the end zone and kneel on it for the victory formation. Allen takes the snap. Ooh. Even though he looks like he's from Turtle Creek, the Browns are up Bleeps Creek, and their only paddle is still suspended till next week. Bills and Allen get right at home, taking the Bills.
Deshaun Watson got to practice this week, but don't expect him to get yanked off the bench or on the bench for that matter, because he's still not allowed to play. Everyone's going to tell you the Bills are going to smoke the Browns, and sometimes everyone is right. My hometown that Tom Segura hates, Erie, PA, is equidistant to these two towns, and if Paul McGuire was still alive, he'd travel to the Sports Page Bar and Grill if it were still open and report back during the game to NBC if they were still airing the afternoon games. But this game is on CBS. Paul McGuire's dead, and so are the Browns. 3 to 6 feet of snow forecast? No problem for the snow plow called Josh Allen. Call Mr. Allen. That's his name. That name again is Mr. Allen. Bills plow the Browns. Next. Eagles at the Colts. What's the line on this one? I lost the line on this one. Is it? I think it's 5.5.
30.
Yeah. I'll find it. Go ahead.
Despite a fun story and an exciting win for Jeff Saturday and the Colts last week, they're not very good. I would say that in the lower quartile of losers, they are in the bottom quartile of that lower quartile. And here come the Eagles, who have one of the most electric quartile backs in the NFL. A great team with a sure bet under center versus a bad team with house money on a center. I think what happened in Vegas last week stays in Vegas, and the birds fly away with this one.
Colts getting 6.5. New Colts head coach Jeff Saturday is the Buster Douglas of the NFL. Buster Douglas, you may remember, somehow knocked out Mike Tyson, then got absolutely destroyed by Evander Holyfield in his only title defense. The only difference here, though, is imagine if Evander Holyfield had been knocked out by Tyler Heinicke somehow the week before he fought Buster. Saturday's Colts are going to get knocked into Monday on Sunday. Okay, I'll stop this joke device before I start to sound like I'm trying to impress Michael Corleone with my English. Take Jalen Hurts and the Eagles. Next. Cowboys at the Vikings -1.
The Cowboys probably got home super late after losing to Green Bay because Mike McCarthy had the team plane stopped by Aiello so he could eat his feelings. And now they got to get right back on a plane and go to the team that no one cares about or respects and only lost to the Eagles. They have the best wide receiver in the league and one of the best running backs in the league. It's because of the Cousins, I think. He's the Keanu Reeves of quarterbacks. No one thinks he's an elite talent, and he just keeps winning. I don't know if he'll ever win an Oscar or a Lombardi, but I think he'll win again this week, and Aiello's might want to just open a shop in Fort Worth.
Cowboys blew a 14-point lead late last week. Vikings came back from 17 points late last week. Those are some unfavorable Tetris pieces for McCarthy. Better get him a few extra headsets to blow up on the sidelines because the Vikings are hotter than the fresh-from-the-oven aforementioned ILOs. And although McCarthy can stomach several of those, he can't stomach another Cowboys loss. Mm-hmm. I like the Cowboys. Vikes are due to lose. Next! Bengals at the Steelers +4.5.
It's hard to remember last season for me, both emotionally and literally, given the terrifying and often horrifying roller coaster ride of this season. But I'll never forget the Bengals game at Heinz Field last year. Yeah, it was Heinz Field then. Because it was the exact game when I started hating Matt Canada. 4th and 10 on the 11-yard line. 3 minutes left in the game. Steelers down 24-10. And the play call? A swing pass to Najee Harris for 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage for a loss of 1 yard. If we win this game, it would at least start the process to me and Matt Canada reconciling. I don't think they're world beaters without Chase, but they don't have to beat the world. They just have to beat the Steelers. Until I see a signature game from Kenny, I can't put money on them to beat good teams. Steelers go 1-1 against Bengals quarterbacks in back-to-back weeks.
This game got flexed from primetime and a national audience to 4:15, and it's only being televised in assorted Pittsburgh neighborhoods, public access channels in Covington, Kentucky, and Animal Planet's funniest home pigeon videos. TJ and the defense are back, although they're down one appendix. All other organs are intact and ready to face Joe Burrow without Jamar Chase. But if Kenny throws the ball like he did in the first half last week, Tomlin's going to be chasing the worst season record he's had as a head coach in the NFL. Take Kenny in the cold. I like the Steelers. Next! Chiefs at the Chargers, +3.5.
Aside from the Steelers needing to take a tour of the Hall of Honor, they also need someone to teach them about how getting flexed out of primetime is an insult and should be taken as such. Now we got to watch Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert headline the big stage in front of a bunch of Botox narcissists that just want to get on TV to use it as a credit to boost their resume. Says here you are on primetime. Yeah, I was the fan who looked surprised after every play on Sunday Night Football. SoFi, Herbert almost had his head removed from his body last week, and his two best receivers have been hurt. Meanwhile, Mahomes has been more alive each week and has thrown touchdowns to 10 different Chiefs players. I still think he's in his prime, and it's still his time. Chiefs, money line.
This is the game that geniuses at the NFL thought was more sponge-worthy than the Steelers-Bengals. The Chargers? Nobody cares about the Chargers. They don't even have fans. Nobody goes to those games. Andy Reid's probably one quarter of the body mass of all Chargers fans that'll be in attendance on Sunday night. Mahomes in primetime is an ATM. Place your bet, make your withdrawal, lay the points, take the Chiefs. That's it. There's our pick six for the week brought to you by Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook. Val's got your news when we return. What are you talking about there, Valerie?
I'm going to tell you how to save a little money for the holidays, and would you eat lab meat?
I'll consider that during the break. PFT commenter, 8:15, the DVE Morning Show.
Live from the Don's Appliances Studios, where Pittsburgh shops for appliances, this is WDVE Pittsburgh.
One time, I bought a grill from Home Depot, a Weber, and I'm loading it into my truck. And this guy, and nobody asked him, he was just a customer, he goes, "You gonna buy a cover for that?" And I'm like, "I don't know, it's a grill, I don't know." He's like, "You gotta get a cover for it. You're not gonna get, you know, as much life as you could out of that grill." And just to defy that guy, I was like, "Yeah, no, I don't think I need a cover. How do you like that?" And then the thing lasted for like 12 years. I just replaced the grates all the time. And every year I'd be like,
"You're looking for that guy?"
In my head, I was still having that argument with the guy from, you know, a decade plus earlier.
Randy Bauman and the DVE Morning Show.
Joe labeled that clip grills, grills, grills.
Guys.
Grills, grills, grills.
I think that's what Vince Neil's been focusing on more than girls, right? Girls, girls.
Oh,
and cheese. Curls, curls, curls. That's the best. It keeps going. He told the audience, "This is over. We're done."
I want to hear a version of that that goes like 10 minutes of him just making up excuses for why he can't sing while the backup vocals keep going.
Just doing stage announcements. There's exits.
Girls,
at the back.
We got some merch. Girls. Hope to come back next March. Girls.
Might as well do the 5-day forecast. Monday and Tuesday, partly cloudy.
Girls. What's going on over there?
It's 4 minutes after 8 at DVE. Here's a Channel 11 Severe Weather Center forecast.
Breezy and cold today. Some flurries, maybe a snow shower in a spot or two. High of 37, but wind chills in the 20s. I'm Scott Harbaugh in Severe Weather Center 11.
It's 30 degrees at DVE. The news is brought to us by Window Nation. I'm Val Porter. Officials in Baden are addressing the sudden retirement of Police Chief David Christner. The chief resigned Monday following an internal investigation related to alleged videos of him engaging in sex acts while working on borough property.
Was that
assistant,
wrong?
Assistant solicitor Stephen Chesney says council members immediately hired an outside firm to look into the accusations when they first learned about them. Channel 2 cites a source who says a borough council member was given a flash drive containing 50 videos of Christner engaged in inappropriate activity at work. Now, it doesn't mean there were 50 times. Maybe it was one incident.
Multiple cameras.
Well, no, just, you know.
This is the master. There's a medium close up.
Get Scorsese shooting it. It's narrated.
I don't know what the 50 videos
were. As soon as all the other officers left, we started boffing on the table. And believe me, we tried to get our jollies off as often as possible.
Well, basic technology is making it harder and harder to be an old school run of the mill thief. Two guys jumped a woman in Wilkinsburg earlier this month, took her keys, stole her car. Police tracked it down a few hours later, but the carjackers ran off before they could be caught and identified. Well, the victim got her car back and noticed something strange. The car's computer notified her that a device had been connected via Bluetooth and was called Daryl's iPhone.
Is this Daryl iPhone?
Well, she didn't know a Daryl and quickly realized it could have been one of the thieves. So she notified police and they determined using surveillance video along with Daryl's iPhone notification that one of the thieves was allegedly 19-year-old Daryl Cammon. They're still trying to identify the second suspect, but in the meantime, there is a warrant out for Daryl's arrest.
It's not my iPhone. Are you Daryl? Get close to this car just for a second.
And Seinfeld, the guy stole his car and he called his car phone. Hello? Yeah, did you steal my car?
Yeah.
Why? You left the keys in it. Oh, bring it back? No.
I mean, when I had my car stolen, the way that they caught the guy was even crazier. They caught the guy because he had stolen my car and then
sex
gone
with it on the desk.
No. And then gone, he went to McDonald's and got chicken nuggets and then crashed it in Hazelwood, and they found the car in Hazelwood, and I'm like, who robs a car on an empty stomach?
Well, and then the goes to get some chick nugs. No, he left a receipt, and the receipt had a timestamp, and then they went to the timestamp McDonald's, and there he is.
Camera.
Is this you eating nuggets?
Yeah. Well, maybe he just needed something to go through the drive-thru because the line was really long inside. So he was like, I'm just going to lift this car really quick, get some nuggets, and then he hit a patch of ice.
Well, more than 50,000 American babies were born at home in 2021. Last year's total was 12% more than in 2020, following a 22% jump in home births from 2019 to 2020. It's also the highest level since at least 1990. In a new report, the CDC says the surge in home births over the past 2 years corresponds with the initial surge of COVID-19 cases in the U.S. Home births still are rare in this country, accounting for just over 1.25% of all births in the U.S. last year. Would you?
I can't keep the house clean under normal circumstances. A home birth? Come on.
You're really going to jam up the Roomba.
I don't know if Zero Res could fix what's going to happen.
Spell it backwards or forth.
Got to bring the baby pool in.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then what? Do you DoorDash a doctor? I have somebody come and deliver that thing.
A doula? Doula Dash is doula what you dash. Get. Yeah.
Would you eat meat grown in a lab?
Yes.
I probably have.
It seems a lot of people would. A survey of 2,000 Americans found 67% said they would eat cultured meat that had been grown in a lab.
That's kind of what the nuggets are, right? Anything that's super processed is kind of... not far from that.
58% said they were more willing to try plant-based alternatives to meat, like tofu. 64% also said they might opt for plant-based dishes and serve less meat during the holidays due to the rising price of meat. And 73% believe that the last several years have changed how others view vegans and vegetarians.
Well, it's twofold, right? It's like cholesterol and climate change are the two reasons why there's this big shift happening, right?
Probably.
Because most people would rather just eat meat. But at some point, you make a conscious decision to flip. If you got...
I would think it would be almost 100% health, wouldn't it?
I had an Impossible Burger a couple of weeks ago, not by choice. But I was like, all right, whatever, I'll eat it. And it was fine.
The burgers that are plant-based that look like meat, they're best if you really char them.
Yes.
That's what this was. It was a Korean barbecue burger.
Yeah, if it's not super well done, it's like, this is weird.
Have you guys ever tried to cook tofu?
No.
Mm-mm.
It's really annoying.
I can barely eat tofu.
Yeah, cook it in a skillet. You have to, put something heavy on it to, squish all of the moisture out of it. Yeah. And then you got to cube it, and then you have to, really burn the heck out of it for it to be... texture-wise, good.
I don't begrudge other people who like it. It's just not my thing.
If somebody else cooks it in a way that's really good,
sure.
Great. I want it.
Tofurkey?
Yeah. I'll try it. I'll try anything. The disgusting things that I've eaten, come on.
Come on. You guys know what I put in my mouth. Come on. Well, I'm not going to eat one of these?
Come on, folks.
Come on, what are we talking about here?
I'm not kidding around.
Corn Pop used to do
that. Being serious. just think about the chemicals that you have ingested of the different fast foods that you've eaten over the course of your life.
Well, the place where I think people eat the most chemicals without knowing it is reheating stuff in the microwave in dishes that are not safe, that are porous.
Sure.
And you're just absorbing all of those chemicals. Is it BPA? BPA is in all the cans.
It's in plastic, too, isn't it?
Stuff little pieces of plastic.
Yeah.
In your body.
And they say we eat a credit card a week.
But I won't try tofurkey. Okay. Why not? You're eating a credit card. It can't taste worse than that.
I don't know, dude. I only eat elk that I tricked into falling into a pit.
But think about, just all of the microwavable meals that you've had over the course of your life, all the tetrazzinis.
Oh, I'm with you. I agree. Microwaving stuff in those plastic you know, and it says healthy choice is the name of the thing. It's like, oh, this is a great healthy choice. I'll microwave this three-tiered plastic thing.
Poke a couple holes in it.
Yeah. And then
peel it back.
Tumor growing out of my neck, and I'm not exactly sure why.
Well, despite the price of everything going up, chocolate apparently is inflation-proof. According to a new U.S. chocolate confectionery market report, chocolate sales are booming. Why is chocolate seemingly unaffected by inflation and a looming recession? Well, experts say it's because people are stressed out, and chocolate is a nice treat as a comfort food. Hershey reported a 12.6% increase in sales in the third quarter of this year. Of course, getting ready for holidays like Halloween doesn't hurt either. A British man named Wallace Lee had been experiencing hearing loss for several years and was worried he was either going deaf or had something obstructing his hearing. He went out, bought a home endoscope kit.
Okay.
Which might be the most shocking part of this story, that there are home endoscope kits. He wanted to get a closer look. He immediately found the problem. A piece of an earbud had been stuck in his ear canal for 5 years.
Stop.
Which is probably better than a spider.
He told the BBC, I don't know about that.
5 years ago when I was visiting my family in Australia, I bought these little earplugs you can put different attachments in. Depending on the noise you want to phase out on an aircraft, one of the little attachments lodged in there and had been there ever since. He finally visited a doctor who was able to safely remove the device. He says his hearing immediately improved.
I'm glad he didn't try to DIY that part of the process. How could you get an earbud stuck in your ear for 5 years and not know?
Right. When you took them both out and we couldn't hear out of one ear, wouldn't you think, oh, something must be in there?
Do you clean out your earbuds ever?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Come on.
No.
Bill.
I don't.
I'm going to get you these little alcohol wipe things.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't ever do that. I mean, unless you're like Abe Vigoda and your ears are just humongous.
You clean your phone, though, don't you?
Yeah.
Have you looked at, do you have Crest on your earbuds?
I'll let you know.
Would you loan your earbuds to somebody comfortably?
No, of course not.
Or borrow.
Those are mine only, and they only go in my ear. You know what I mean? So
nobody was suggesting.
I know.
Geez,
well, no, but I'm
contrary to what everyone's been saying online.
Like on my phone, there's nasty things on my phone that I touch with my hands. My hands could go to my face. So that's why you have to clean the phone. That's my point. The earbuds, I mean, unless there was like a noticeable gunkus on my earbud, I wouldn't think to clean it.
There may be a noticeable gunkus on there.
There might be unnoticeable.
Gunkus. Yeah, that's the other thing. Microbes.
If it's not noticeable, then who cares?
Then who notices? PFT commenter from Pardon My Take joining us, sponsored by Yingling. This football season, bring the goods with Yingling Traditional Lager. PFT, do you wipe down your earbuds or your phone?
No, almost never with my phone. The only time I'll wipe my phone down is if I actually, like if I spill some sort of dip onto it. Then I'll clean it off the screen.
Notice
if it's impacting
sticky.
My ability... If it's impacting my ability to get these tweets off online, then I will clean it off. With the earbuds, no, I don't really get smegma on the earbuds, but if I do, sometimes I'll take a little Q-tip to that. That's the only thing, because I get grossed out by that. Like if you see the earwax and stuff, that actually freaks me out a little bit.
So every time I leave the gym, I take my earbuds out and I wipe down the earbuds like immediately on my. Like on my shorts, like on the my legs, like yep, just in case there was anything on there, because I don't want.
And is there?
Not usually, because it's like one time. But that's the point. Like if you let it go, I'm afraid at some point I'm going to see
build up.
Yeah, it's going to be some sort of waxy residue.
There's going to be the mucinex.
That's right. Yeah,
booger.
TJ Miller's going to start talking to me through my AirPod.
I'm just I like to just use the red light things that they have at my gym. I have no idea if they work or not. I think it's supposed to be like infrared light.
What is that?
Disinfects. Yeah, it says like put your phone here to clean it off. Sometimes I'll just wave the earbuds there. As far as I can tell, it's just a red light, but it still makes me. It's the ritual of acting like I'm cleaning something off that makes me feel better. So just install more red lights places, and I'll be fine with that.
Now, are you really going to go to Qatar?
Oh, I'm going to Qatar. Oh, I'm leaving. Yeah, I'm leaving on Tuesday, and I'm coming back Saturday, and I'm a little bit nervous, guys.
I'm very nervous for you.
And knowing myself and my friend Donnie, there might be an international incident that gets started over our names. Now, we know when to push and we know when to pull, and we're pretty – I'd say I'm like in top 1%, and Donnie's probably top 1% of the 1% at getting away with stuff. So I think we might be okay, but there's a lot. I'm being very careful with what I say before I go over there. So I'll put it this way. I'm very excited to go over to Qatar and see all the new changes and the progress that the Qatari government is bringing that country into the 21st century. It's such an exciting time to be in Qatar and to see everything that country has to offer, the progress they've made in terms of civil rights, women's rights, and slave labor rights over there. So I'm very, very pumped to go.
It's the golden age of authoritarianism sponsored sports, with LIV golf tournament taking off and with this World Cup, which, again, FIFA's not exactly known as a bastion of integrity, but this even seems egregious for them. I am surprised that you're going there. The number of places that you've gotten kicked out of with Barstool, the dog show, right?
Yeah, that's actually a good point. Like, if I can't make it past security at Madison Square Garden with the Westminster Kennel Club, how am I going to be able to handle that with Qatari princes running around trying to apprehend me for taking picture of the wrong wall? I'm fully aware of the risks that are posed by going over there, but this is like it's a once in a lifetime opportunity to go over to Qatar for this World Cup and to cover it and to come back. And we plan on doing some actual journalism when we're over there, believe it or not. It's going to be a fun time. And I'll be honest, Dave Portnoy right now is absolutely hoping that me and Donnie get arrested in Qatar so that he can make billions of dollars selling t-shirts saying free PFT Donnie. That's what he really like. If you want to talk about what Dave's interests are, he is all about content and the buzz. And I think Dave 100% would trade us getting arrested and detained in Qatar for up to 2 years if it meant that Barstool was in the news more often because they were talking about his employees.
Well, listen, dude, please do us a favor and make sure you clean out all your pockets, all of your bags of any edibles. We don't need another Brittany Griner situation.
Buy all new luggage.
That's a good idea, and making sure that I'm not even taking any sort of medication over there whatsoever, because I don't know what they have. So we actually had one guy reach out to us, and he was because we've got listeners in almost every part of the world, and this one guy, I'm not going to say who he is, but he was like, hey man, if you're coming to Qatar, just to let you know, I got the hookup on all the prostitutes over here.
On all the prostitutes. And, wow.
Yes. And I was like, if there's one thing I'm not going to do in a country that will arrest you and throw you in jail for just having sex with a woman, having sex with a prostitute, I think I'm going to cross that one off the list. I'm going to stay far away from all women when I'm over there. No disrespect to women. I just don't want anything untoward to be even imagined while I'm over there.
PFT, you can't masturbate over there. Like, you have to not touch yourself when you go to the bathroom.
What is
not
November?
That is true.
Well, from my cold dead hands, that's what I say to that one. I've always been a bit of a rebel. You guys know that about me.
But that'd be the way to go down.
I will not follow an unjust law.
Hey, PFT, if you need any hookup on bazookas, I got a guy over here. He's an arms dealer.
Can you imagine?
Really cool.
Can you imagine how dumb I'd be to go over to Qatar and be like, yeah, let me sleep with a few hookers over here based on the DM that I got online. I would deserve to get arrested for that. I would not blame them.
I'd be terrified of the guy that even reached out to you because he is working for the government. I mean, this is a honeypot all the way.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, no, they're out to get us. We're being targeted. And it's funny, going back to the World Cup that they had in Russia a few years ago, when every journalist that would get there, immediately their phone would start acting weird because there was all sorts of, malicious. There was, malware floating through the Wi-Fi and stuff. It's going to be a disaster. I think it's going to be a disaster, guys. The pictures I've seen, the videos I've seen of, the tent villages being set up, the stadiums that were built in 3 years using slave labor, some of which are temporary stadiums. that are designed to be broken down right after the World Cup and like shipped somewhere else in the world. I don't see this World Cup going off without a hitch. I think that there are probably going to be some logistical nightmares that go along with it.
I wasn't aware of that.
Some of the fun stuff.
I didn't know the stadiums were like collapsible.
Some of them are. I think there are some permanent ones, but they realize, like, if FIFA's going down the list of the reasons why they should not have had the World Cup in Qatar, to say nothing of the human rights issues and the fact that it's 120 degrees in the summertime, so they couldn't play it then. The fact that they didn't have any of the infrastructure and they had to build it all in this tiny little country, that should have been one of the many red flags that came up. And so part of their solution for that is, we're going to build temporary stadiums that we're going to then disassemble immediately after the World Cup and send elsewhere in the world. I think this is the first time it's happening on this big scale. So nothing like the World Cup to be like a little testing ground for a new type of stadium that they're putting in.
Right. So you're going to spend Thanksgiving in Qatar?
I am, yeah. Do you think they do like turkey over there? I got to figure out.
I don't think so.
I'm going to go. I'm going to spend Thanksgiving, actually, I think, at a French Montana concert in Qatar. So that's
perfect.
As is tradition, as the pilgrims once imagined.
That's right.
It's just a crazy experience. And I love these types of like weird environments. That's kind of where I thrive. So I'm pretty sure I'll be okay, and I don't think that there will be anything that I'll do that will get us in trouble. I'm honestly going to be on my best behavior.
Are you worried that your long hair might misidentify you, misgender you, and they'll come down on you for not having a veil?
That's probably actually the best strategy would just be to wear a veil the entire time.
I think you probably should.
Yeah, just to like lay low a little bit. It's probably a smarter thing to do.
Although, if you get sexually assaulted, you will get murdered for being sexually assaulted, though. So it's a slippery slope.
Yeah, well, I could put the veil on, but then I don't want to, like, if I accidentally show one of my ankles, then I could get thrown in jail. And you guys know me. I'm a bit of an ankle slut. So,
yeah, right.
I'm between a rock and a hard place. I think I'm going to put, just wear a hat the entire time.
There you go.
Just try to blend in. My strategy is to not be the most outrageous person there at any given time. You know, just like kind of blend into the crowd a little bit and try to lay low. But no, I'm honestly excited about it because I do love the World Cup. It's probably my favorite sporting event. I just love international soccer for some reason. I don't really care that much about club soccer or MLS, any of that stuff. But the World Cup is just – I always say, like, I learned geography when I was growing up based on, like, whether, you know, what country we were bombing at the time or what team were playing in the World Cup
right.
that day.
Like most of us. Yeah, I mean, just be careful. We were talking about it yesterday and, you know, that video that went around of the Danish TV crew and immediately started being concerned about you going over there. So be careful, man, because we want to talk to you again. And don't let that, you know, don't show your ankle just because you want to show everyone your new Commander's tattoo.
Okay, and if anything does happen to me over there, I give you guys full permission to exploit my being missing to generate ratings and revenue for yourself. Like have like a bring PFT back marathon or whatever. Like really lean into it, even though like you guys could probably care less if I get my head chopped off over there. Like I give you 100% permission to just exploit the hell out of me.
We'll sell yellow ribbons, you know, free PFT with all of the. All of the proceeds going to the free PFT fund, which will be a phony thing that we just set up.
That's beautiful. I love it. Nothing more American than that, guys.
PFT commenter brought to you by Yuengling this morning on DVE. Thanks, bud. Take care over there. Be careful.
All right, have a great weekend.
All right, man. We'll see
you.
All right. Mike's got your news or sports. Boy, I'm all mixed up. I can't believe he's going.
I know.
Going to the World Cup is super cool.
Really cool.
At a time when the world kind of feels like it's all the Wild West again, in a place where the rules are basically, they could make them up and say you broke one. I don't know, man. That's a hairy. I don't know if I could go and enjoy that.
We're talking to Stan the other day off air, and we were talking about Muhammad Ali, and I was asking our producer Joe if he had seen When We Were Kings, an amazing documentary, and The Rumble in the Jungle, the guy before the dictator, before they showed up, rounded up all of the criminals and either murdered them and put them in jail so that there wouldn't be any incidents when the TV cameras showed up. Like, imagine the stuff that's going on to prepare for this.
Holy cow. I can't.
Like, I can't imagine them filling stadiums with people from around the country. Like, who's going there to see this? I guess people that just are really into soccer.
Well, it's the biggest event, sporting event in the world.
Of course. Like, but there.
Everywhere. I mean, in the world.
I know, but I'm saying, like, but that destination for it.
I don't know who's going yet, to your point. I don't know how easy it is to get there.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. He's going that far just for 3 days? That seems like a long way to go.
We went to Australia for 3 days.
Oof.
36 hours. Oof.
Yuck.
All right, Michael, have your sports when we come back after the break. Hi, I'm Randy Bauman from the DVE Morning Show. FanDuel Casino's giving you a free chance to spin and win today and every day. Introducing FanDuel Casino's Reward Machine, a free-to-play game giving you a shot to win up to $2,000 in casino bonus every day. It brings you all the excitement of playing FanDuel Casino games for free. Every day at 6 p.m., you get three chances to spin the Reward Machine reels. There's three ways to win. One, match any three symbols for an instant win. Two, collect symbols each day for a chance to win weekly prizes. Or three, win up to $2,000 if you collect three trophies. FanDuel's given away over $2 million to thousands of people through Reward Machine. So what are you waiting for? Download the FanDuel Casino app by going to FanDuel.com/Randy and start playing Reward Machine today. That's FanDuel.com/Randy. No purchase necessary. 21 or older, present in Pennsylvania. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable casino-only site credit that expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/casino. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG.
From the Flynn's Tire and Auto Service Weather Center.
DVE Sports.
Mike Pursuta with your sports now on the DVE Morning Show. Mike.
Sports this hour brought to you by Bridgeville Appliance. Steelers getting ready for the Bengals on Sunday. They figured out how to get their double teams working and the ground game going last Sunday against the Saints. The immediate response was to get back to work yesterday at trying to do both even better the next time.
I mean, I would say we're still working on it. I mean, we don't have, I don't think any part of our game right now we have, we're done working on it. So today is a good day. We're wearing pads. It's another good day where we can, like, work on the double teams because it's very hard for the interior defensive linemen and even like defensive ends. It's hard for them to play run blocks when there's four hands on them. So that's why like Cincinnati's linebackers, they do a really good job of like their linebackers like shooting downhill and like making sure like those double teams can't happen forever. So I mean, if like for like look at like Cincinnati's tape, like people are double 92 or double 98 and 55 and 57 are becoming unblocked because they're just doing such a good job of like holding them off at the point. So, I mean, today is a good day where we can work on that.
That was guard James Daniels. Boy, really laid out the game plan for us nicely there, right? Appreciate it. Appreciate the confirmation that they were back in pads yesterday. I didn't think the NFLPA allowed that anymore. Oh my God, a practice with shoulder pads in November.
Probably a little warmer to do it that way.
It's because they're working way too hard. But, yeah, the two hogs up front, assuming that DJ Reader comes off the reserve injured list for Cincinnati, and the indications out of Cincinnati are that that will happen. You got to deal with the two wide bodies, and then you got to get the two downhill inside linebackers, Jermaine Pratt, number 57, and Logan Wilson, number 55. Those guys can really muck things up and put you in a bad way. But in the passing game, New Orleans is down to a rookie corner on one side because of an injury and Eli Apple on the other. And the nickel is still Mike Hilton, who's coming off a pinky surgery. Mike Hilton, God bless him. We all love him for the effort and physicality with which he plays, even as a relatively undersized guy. But he is not a cover guy. So two really good.
Real good at blitzing.
Real good at blitzing. But very good safeties in Von Bell and Jesse Bates. But there should be some opportunity in the short to intermediate passing game range. And we'll see if the Steelers can exploit that. They'll have a better chance to do so if they get the ground game going the way they did against the Saints. Center Mason Cole talked about that yesterday. Made sure to credit the running backs. Yet it matters what those guys do with the ball as well in terms of how well a running game performs.
Honestly, I think the backs were running really well. I think Najee and Jalen did really well. Just they were physical. It felt like the pile was moving forward all day, and that's a big credit to those guys back there.
Curious to see how this plays out with Najee Harris. I think that might have been somewhat of a breakout game for him just in terms of allowing him to exhale physically and mentally and understand that every play doesn't have to be a home run, but if you just stay with it, you're going to pop one, two, three eventually, and at the end of the day, it's all going to work out. I'd ask him about it, but I think I'm going to give that a break for a while because I'm tired of the response. What do you mean? Why do you ask that? What are you talking about?
And then actually answering the question.
It's a little goofy talking to him. But that, I think that is a reflection of just the overall stress he has been under and put on himself. And how badly he wants to succeed and how frustrated he has been that it's taken this long. But, you know, put another good game together and then maybe you're past that and maybe you can start really running.
And I get that because there's a sense that if you admit to shortcomings that you are giving in to defeat, right? So when a question is phrased in a way, anyway, that might suggest I'm not doing my best or I'm capable of better because I'm not doing enough, that you're going to be defensive of that. And that's clearly what he was doing. I don't understand. What do you mean? Be more specific.
What are you talking about?
Who's putting pressure
on you? You wrote night moves last night. No, I didn't.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You rushed for 99 yards. Oh, I did not.
You wrote and recorded night moves.
It's one of my favorite bits, by the way.
Matt Bronger, it's just the all-time hilarious. Best.
You've been struggling recently. What do you mean?
No, I haven't.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, he's like Nathan Thurm, like Martin Short is Nathan Thurm on Saturday Night Live. No, I haven't. What are you talking about? Of course I know that. Why wouldn't I know that?
And I mean, I get it. And, you know, I hope he works it out. I'm content at this point to let him do that and just see what happens as opposed to getting a lot of detailed analysis about it afterward. Kenny Pickett's adjustment to the NFL continues. Some good, some bad there. At least Pickett is now secure in the knowledge after a handful of games regarding what he must adjust to as his rookie season progresses.
Yeah, it's definitely faster, definitely tighter windows. You know, I came in with high expectations, obviously definitely met those. So, you know, I have to be on point. The guys have to be on point with where they're getting in depth route-wise and the timing and all that stuff. It all works together. So, you know, if one guy's a little off, it probably won't go our way. So that's what we're trying to get.
Started at least taking more shots last Sunday. Got to get more accurate with those. And the next step, guys, I think is going to be trust Deontay Johnson. Look for him. And throw it when he's coming out of the break, if not just before. Don't wait to see if he's open. Throw him the ball. See what happens. I bet you'd be pleasantly surprised. Unless he, you know, catches it and then runs backwards and doesn't get the first
down. Talk more about that with Missy Matthews after the break. Val's got your news top of the hour. What are you talking about, Valerie?
Researchers are testing a temporary vasectomy.
It's Steelers-Bengals Sunday here on DVE, a 4:25 kickoff, 12:30 pregame with Tim Benz, Dale Lally, and Rob King. Mike Pursuta kicks up the network pregame 2:25 with Jerry Dulac and Bob Labriola, and then it's Bill Hillgrove, Craig Wolfley, Max Starks, Missy Matthews, who joins us next. Steelers-Bengals, 4:25, right here, your radio home of the Black and Gold, 102.5 DVE. It's your radio home of the NFL's Pittsburgh Steelers, 102.5 DVE Pittsburgh. Our next guest, sponsored by Ford, your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Missy Matthews from the Steelers Radio Network joining us now. Hi, Missy. How are you?
Hi, guys. I'm great. How are you?
Good. Both teams are going to wear their color rush this Sunday, the Bengals and the Steelers.
The Bengals is white.
All white.
And nobody will
see
it.
They call it the white Bengal.
The white Bengal. Oh, like the albino, like the Siegfried and Roy tiger.
It's literally in their game release. They call it the white Bengal.
That sounds like one of those Urban Dictionary things I don't want to look up. I'd play in trash bags, said Joe Burrow. He doesn't care about what they're wearing. Those white...
Probably has, based on where he's from.
I mean, have you seen his outfits?
Those white unis are as ugly as the black color rush are badass. I love the Steelers color rush unis.
See, people love the white unis, and they're undefeated in them, I think.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Well... No, they only wore, I think it was new this year, right? The all-white.
Yeah, the all... Dude,
with
this is an all-white helmet. Yeah. Not...
Yeah, they've worn these before.
Yeah, they did it at home, and they made the end zones white, and they made the helmet at the 50-yard line white.
Why?
I don't know. They're the Bengals.
Surrender.
Surrender. I like that, Val.
They had a lot of extra white paint laying around.
I always say the first time I saw them, I think, Trip, that game you were talking about, they played Miami maybe earlier this year.
I think you're right.
And, yeah, it looked like zebra cakes, like the stripes on the side of their pants.
Zebra cakes, exactly.
Yeah, so I joked and said I'm going to bring zebra cakes to the game for a halftime snack.
All right, with TJ Watt.
That was the password in TED.
What?
Oh, no, it was fresh cakes.
Anyways, with TJ Watt back this weekend, how do you think Joe Burrow, who doesn't have Ja'Marr Chase and company, are going to attack the defense? I'm thinking you're going to see a lot of ball control and a lot of ground game in a very cold atmosphere Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Burrow, you know, any game this year that he's thrown at least one interception, they've lost the game. And he said, you know, earlier this week, whenever he had his media availability in Cincinnati, that, you know, I'm not going to throw four picks this game, because clearly week one got out of hand, even though it ended up being a close game and going to overtime. But just what the defense was able to do to him, I do think, you know, not having Ja'Marr Chase is like not having his security blanket, but they have relied a lot more, you know, in Joe Mixon and the ground game as well without him. But, you know, they still have Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins. It's not like they are without some weapons on offense.
I just got to interject here. I want to let you guys know the extent to which Missy is killing it as sideline reporter, one of her many gigs. We have a weekly segment with her on the pregame show, and had some technical issues last week, so we had to cut it short. And she texted me to let me know that what she was going to say before she got cut off was that Minka Fitzpatrick was in the house and on the sideline a day after undergoing appendix surgery. And it's not the first time she's texted me something from the field because she thought I needed to know.
I just like to pass along the information.
That being said, do you think he loses a step at all from this?
I mean, don't you think it's crazy that less than 24 hours after having his appendix out that he showed up at the game and was like walking around, watching warm-ups, hanging out, you know, cheering, wearing a headset? That just seems kind of crazy to me. So
me too.
I don't know. Coach Tomlin seemed to be optimistic on Tuesday, but Minka didn't practice yesterday. So I guess we'll see. I mean, he did run on Tuesday, also seems crazy after having that surgery. But, you know, it's like TJ Watt. These guys are just like, they're built differently. They're aliens, as Coach always says. You know, they're from outer space. They just do crazy things. So I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised either way, but I wouldn't not take a Minka Fitzpatrick, even if he wasn't 100%.
I mean, interesting thing is that Joe Burrow kind of blamed his bad performance on his appendix being taken out before game one.
Yeah, I was going to say, is this appendix karma for Minka getting a pick six off of Burrow in
the
week
pick
one?
Pick six right away? Yeah, I mean, I do think Burrow's burst, though, and his was, I mean, he missed significant time in training camp and I believe
big
some
difference.
Preseason games.
Although Burrow was being a real pro this week. He suggested for safety's sake that Minka should take one more week off.
He's
very concerned.
What do you wear on the sidelines on these cold games, by the way? Because you're going to be freezing down there. This is the first super cold game.
Yeah, I mean, I just wear lots of layers, hand warmers, you know, toe warmers, gloves, hat. I mean, I layer up to the point where I'm like sweating when I'm standing inside, but you just have to. And I've learned very quickly since doing this job, you have to invest in good footwear.
Yes, footwear.
Sorrel boots are like literally the most amazing boots. As long as my feet don't get cold, then normally I feel like my body, I can, you know, trick myself into thinking I'm not cold, but I'm not going to lie. I complain and just go nuts because I hate being cold.
So
I'm sure I'll, you know, say that on Sunday too.
Do you take advantage of the heating facilities on the sidelines there? Like, do you go over by the heat blowers or anything like that every once in a while?
A million percent. I mean, it's down to a science where anybody who's on the sideline knows, okay, well, if the offense is on the field, the defense goes to this one. So then you just go over to the other side and there's usually nobody standing there except for maybe a specialist. And then at halftime, I sit on those seats. Those heated benches are the most amazing things ever. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you got to do what you got to do. It's not like we can run inside that long. So it's almost like just stay outside, suck it up, and we'll eat some zebra cakes.
I like that. That's a great insight there into how you manage those games. How's Kenny Pickett going to do it? Took him a while to get heated up last week.
Mm-hmm. Got to get some smaller gloves.
You hope that. You hope that he takes care of the ball again, and you hope that you rely on the run game, which this is like the perfect weather to have you know, a good run game again. And I hope that, you know, for Najee, that was like the boost of confidence that he needed. The offensive line, you know, they can puff their chest a little bit for what they were able to do. And hopefully it carries over because it's going to help everybody. And then it opens up the passing game.
Do you think that his embrace of the two-headed attack there in the running game with Jalen Warren, which he seemingly now does embrace it, and he said as much in the last week or so, that that was part of that acceptance actually helped him get over a mental hurdle?
I don't know. I think, you know, I don't know. Najee is a very interesting cat. He just looks at the world in a totally different way than most people, but he's very open and honest. And I, you know, who would go out into the media and say like, yeah, they told me this and I fought with them and said, no, I'm not doing that. And then, you know, eventually realizing that it was for the best, I think using them the way that they did, you know, Jalen Warren's stats weren't crazy on Sunday, but even in the passing game, he had a few big plays that really continued drives. And I just think keeping Najee fresh is huge because after last year, you just don't want him taking that many touches.
And with those guys, you know, both of them capable of really delivering a pounding to the defense in a weather game like this where it's cold. I mean, wearing them down is crucial. And I mean, the Steelers have to be patient enough to deal with maybe not every drive ends up, you know, early on, you know, scoring. Three and out is never desirable, but sticking with the running game is going to be key for Matt Canada here.
I don't know if they'll be able to get, you know, wrap their head around three and out and not scoring. I just don't know if they'll be able to
yeah, you haven't seen them
understand what's
yeah, because they've been so perfect up to this point. Yeah.
They should be comfortable in that kind of game.
It seems like both teams are going to do that because Mixon is definitely heating up too, especially with Chase out of the lineup.
Yeah, and I mean, the Bengals at their bye week last year had the exact same record and then went to win like six of the last eight games. They obviously won the division and we know how their season ended. So I don't know. They've been a little fluky here and there, but you can't say the Steelers haven't been that way either, you know, beating Tom Brady without half of your secondary. So it'll be interesting to see. I'm hoping that, you know, this kind of win where you run the ball, you take care of the football in terms of Kenny and the defense plays lights out because you get TJ and DeMonte KZ back, that it's the trickle down effect and it continues and they can carry on the momentum. It's not a night game, but it's going to be dark by 5 o'clock, let's be honest. So I think it's going to have that feel, the color rush. People love it. The players love it. The fans love it. I'm pretty excited minus the weather.
Missy Matthews brought to you by Ford, your neighborhood Ford store, the F-150, the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Sunday, 4:25 kickoff, the Pittsburgh Steelers radio network right here on DVE. And Missy will be staying warm on the sidelines. And thanks for letting us know how you're going to do that, too. And honestly, best of luck to you because it'll definitely be frigid Sunday.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. I'll do my best.
At least we're not getting 6 feet of snow like they're supposed to get in Buffalo.
Right? Did you see they're like monitoring. They might have to move the game possibly.
They got to play that game. I'll be so pissed if they move it.
Where would they move it?
Just the time, like to Monday.
Oh.
Well, but they did say that there was a Bills-Jets game that was played in Detroit. I think it was in 14 or 16.
Oh, to actually move the site?
That's when hilarious. A similar situation. Well, I think all options are, it's like, you know, we're talking to both teams. We might move the time or the day, and we also, hey, we might go to another stadium. So I'm not sure. I just
huge advantage
before I came on.
Huge advantage to Cleveland if they would go to Detroit. It's like a home game.
Yeah, but then Josh Allen can throw.
Well, there's that, too.
Because it's indoors. Yeah. So that's a huge disadvantage to Cleveland.
Right. Kind of waits out.
At least early in games.
Yeah. Missy, thanks as always. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye, guys.
All right, Val, your news next on the DV Morning Show.
The fact that they didn't have any of the infrastructure and they had to build it all in this tiny little country, that should have been one of the many red flags that came up. And so part of their solution for that is we're going to build temporary stadiums that we're going to then disassemble immediately after the World Cup and send elsewhere in the world. I think this is the first time it's happening on this big scale. So nothing like the World Cup to be like a little testing ground for a new type of stadium that they're putting in.
Right. So you're going to spend Thanksgiving in Qatar?
I am, yeah. Do you think they do like turkey over there? I got to figure out.
I don't think so.
I'm going to go. I'm going to spend Thanksgiving, actually, I think, at a French Montana concert in Qatar. So that's
perfect.
As is tradition, as the pilgrims want to imagine.
That's right.
Randy Bauman and the DVE Morning Show.
Yes, French Montana very traditional Thanksgiving fare.
Thanksgiving in Qatar. Sounds like a Hallmark movie.
This Thanksgiving, warm yourself by the lovely flames of Thanksgiving in Qatar.
How'd you meet Mom?
Yeah.
Funny story. We were at a French Montana concert in Qatar over Thanksgiving one year.
We purchased her. That's how that happened. So. Mm-hmm.
My friend had a hookup, and I took him up on it.
Do people eat camel? This is a very, that sounds like a very
no
naive.
Idea.
I'm very Google naive. What? I don't think camel is an animal.
Are there wild camels?
There are places where people eat horse, but I don't think anybody eats camel ever.
I'm going to Google it right
camel
now.
Camel toe.
Here you go. Thanks, folks.
It's like pig's feet.
It's like moose knuckles. Chris Christie is the owner of the all-time greatest moose knuckle.
Camel meat is an ethnic food consumed across the arid regions of Middle East and Northeast Africa.
There you go.
Yuck.
I don't know.
Or is it?
Or is it? Or am I? Speaking in memes this morning here on DV. All right, well, I shan't be eating camel anytime soon, but I don't know. I bet Andrew Zimmern has.
Probably.
Continue our conversation from the other day. You went and watched the Bourdain documentary, right?
Oh, yeah.
See what I'm talking about now with Asia Argento?
Yeah.
He just went nuts.
Roadrunner, it's called.
Yeah, it's like the Modern Lover song.
It is. It's really sad.
It is.
Because he was just chasing it.
He was so obsessed with her.
He was obsessed with her, but just really looking for himself and, you know, traveling the whole span of the globe many times over to find something that he could have found in his apartment in New York
with his wife.
By just
and
turning
kid.
Inward, like just having, like you had it.
Yep. It's great insight.
And it sucks because it seems like he was just so pissed off one day that he did that. Like it doesn't seem like that was something that had been building in him. Like he discovered that she was seeing somebody else and almost like in a moment of rage did that to himself.
Yeah, he snapped. That's why people were people who were close to him were so angry at him.
Yeah.
It's a complex story. It's worth watching, and it is fascinating, and it will make you kind of angry. Like, oh, man, that was a really necessary voice. He really influenced the way a lot of people think.
He was so good.
He really was.
Such a great writer and producer. I mean, those Parts Unknown was like short films.
They really were. And his writing was so good in those.
Yeah. I mean, the voiceovers, which he hated, which that was kind of funny. Like,
yeah, to hear how he labored over that.
Yeah. They were like, well, we have to put this in context. And he was like, this is stupid. And then it ended up being one of the most brilliant parts of the show.
Yeah, it was the hallmark of the show. Roadrunner's name of that documentary. Highest recommendation. Val's got your news right now.
It's 10 after 9 at DVE. Here's a Channel 11 Severe Weather Center forecast.
Breezy and cold today, some flurries, maybe a snow shower and a spot or two, high of 37, but wind chills in the 20s. I'm Scott Harbaugh, Severe Weather Center 11.
30 degrees at DVE. The news is brought to us by your neighborhood Ford store. Pittsburgh Public Safety is making final preparations for this year's Light Up Night. Festivities begin around 11 a.m. Saturday, leading up to the big fireworks finale at 9:30 p.m., Pittsburgh police and other agencies are working in 12-hour shifts with officers on horseback to make sure everyone has a safe and fun celebration. Search downtownpittsburghholidays.com for a full schedule of events. An Andy Warhol silkscreen of a car crash from 1963 is now one of the most valuable post-war works ever to sell at auction. The huge image titled White Disaster, White Car Crash 19 Times, brought $85.4 million.
What?
At Sotheby's in New York City on Wednesday, Warhol duplicated a single image of a car crash 19 times in black and white, and that's in a frame 12 feet tall and 6 feet wide.
And sitting in Alice Cooper's basement. Remember that story? Yeah. How he just had like some authentic, like
a Warhol.
Yeah.
Sitting in his basement. He's like, what's this? Oh, yeah. $9 million.
The U.S. Postal Service is looking for volunteers to participate in Operation Santa. The program allows participants to respond to letters sent to St. Nick because he's very busy, so he needs some help.
Very busy.
You'll be able to write back or send gifts to one or more kids that you choose. Individuals who would like to sign up must register online and have your identity verified. The USPS OperationSanta.com is where you can find information about signing up for that.
I heard Santa just sent an email to all the elves with the title Fork in the Road, and they have to decide if they want to continue to be indentured servants or get 3 months severance.
Not everybody gets to keep their candy cane.
They don't. It's
$20 a month now.
That's right.
Researchers in Australia are testing a new birth control option for men described as a temporary vasectomy. It involves injecting gel directly into your...
Injecting gel. I'm out.
Out.
The gel, and for those reasons, I'm out.
The gel blocks your swimmers from getting where they need to go to make a baby for up to 2 years. Researchers were worried they wouldn't get enough volunteers, so they posted about it on social media. Hundreds of men applied. They got so many applications, they had to shut it down after 2 days.
Shut it down.
25 lucky men now part of the study, which researchers describe as very safe. They say the biggest risk is that it might not work, so men could get overconfident and accidentally get someone pregnant. If it does work, they will do a larger follow-up study, and they say they will be looking for volunteers in the U.S. at that time. So
it's going to be confusing. You're like, no, sweet, I'm gelling. I'm like, wait, you have inserts?
Gelling like Magellan.
You got shoe things? That doesn't help with pregnancies.
Don't put gel in there. It's a bad idea.
It's like when they put Fix-A-Flat in somebody's butt.
Right. Why would you do that?
Like, when those people die, I feel bad. But then there's a part of me that goes, well, you went to a motel and let someone put Fix-A-Flat in your glutes. Like, what did you think was going to happen?
Yeah, when you met the guy in the alley...
Yeah, like, can really, really help you lose some weight if you jump off the building. It's hard to have sympathy for that person.
If before he does the injection, he has to shake a can, it's not official.
Cheese whiz would probably be a better option.
Cheese whiz in your bucket?
Yeah. Pump it up a little?
I don't understand that stuff. I don't understand the lip plumpers or any of those things. Oh. Like, I feel like you are just asking for a life of trouble. Because after you put that stuff in, then doesn't your lip get, like, blown out? And then if it doesn't have stuff in there, do you have a saggy lip?
You ever seen somebody where it doesn't really go? Well, it looks like they've been kissing light bulbs.
Dude, Meg Ryan. Mm-hmm. Meg Ryan had really bad lip injections. Which, because then you have lumpy lip. It's just bad.
Who was it that you showed me a picture of?
Madonna.
Recently? No, it was somebody else.
Oh, yeah, Madonna is, I mean... She looks like
unrecognizable.
Madam.
Yeah, she looks like she's been making out with a beehive.
She's got like cheek implants and
she's all about it though. She doesn't care if she's owning it. It's what she wants to do.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Obviously she wants to look that way. It's just a weird look.
Yeah, because like Stevie Nicks, for all her eccentricities, she never really got into any of that stuff, right? She just kinda grew old. Debbie Harry, same thing. Yeah. She was kinda like, yeah, all right.
No, I think Madonna is like my generation's version of like an unlikable Dolly Parton. Like she will
unlikable.
She will get all the work done and look like she, you know, not wear pants until she's 80, and somehow that will be a thing. I don't really know.
Yeah, I didn't appreciate her when I was younger. I was just always kind of like, oh, whatever. And then you know, you get to a certain age, you're like, well, she is smoking hot actually, and. Then you get a little bit older and you're like, you know what? She's kind of a baller. She.
Dolly.
No.
Oh.
Madonna. Like the stuff she did, it pissed people off. Like Miley Cyrus was kind of doing some of the same stuff. Gaga to an extent. It takes a lot of balls to do that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And do it well.
Yeah.
To not just do shock. I mean, she had killer songs.
Mm-hmm.
Takes wrecking balls. I mean, in Miley's case.
I love Miley, dude. And I know people hate her. She's pretty punk rock. Like,
dude, Miley has a great voice. She sounds like she smokes a pack a day at least.
I know.
The American Farm Bureau Federation just put out its annual Thanksgiving report. The average dinner will cost $64.05 this year. That's for 10 people. That's up 20%. $6.41 per person. It was $5.33 a year ago. It varies a little bit around the country. Of course, out west, not surprising, most expensive, $7.14. Per guest in the South, it's just $5.84. And to keep things consistent, they haven't changed their list of typical Thanksgiving foods since their first report in 1986. Back then, it was $2.87 a person.
Wow.
The biggest price jump this year is stuffing. It's up 69%. Based on the average, here's what everything in their typical Thanksgiving feast costs, which some of these are, I think, low. I'm not sure where they're shopping, but a 16-pound turkey, $28.96.
That sounds low.
Stuffing, $3.88. If you buy a bag, I don't know. I think they're making it. Cranberry sauce, $2.57. Sweet potatoes, $3.96. These must be light eaters. It's
buying a single
people.
Potato.
Dinner rolls, $3.73. That might be close to normal. Peas, $1.90.
Oh, peas are the worst.
So you got one vegetable in this meal, and not even a good one. Carrots and celery, 88 cents. Pumpkin pie mix, $4.28. Two pie crusts, $3.68. That might be okay. A half pint of whipped cream, $2.24. And a gallon of milk, $3.84. They did an updated version with three other foods that a lot of people include now, which, how can you have Thanksgiving dinner without these things? Mashed potatoes, green beans. They put ham in here, too.
Camel.
It jumps to $8.13 a person. Which, how do you have Thanksgiving and not have mashed potatoes?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know how you do that.
Did you see someone tweeted us that camel is available at Strip District Meats, and it's delicious?
Is that real? Hmm? Come on. You can go down the strip and get some
Someone
camel.
Tweeted it. It has to be real.
Strip District Meats has a website. Anything.
All right, I'm going to look it up.
Google it right now.
Showing up to Thanksgiving with some camel meat.
They sold rattlesnake at one point at Giant Eagle because I remember seeing it in the meat counter.
Really?
That might have been like a stunt or something. I'm not sure. I can't imagine too many people purchased it.
No, not a lot of snake soup being made around Pittsburgh.
Is there a type of
Give
movie
me some chip snake
you like to watch when you're sick? A survey of millennial parents found 60% prefer rom-coms when they're under the weather. When parents and kids are homesick, the movies change a little bit. Harry Potter, that whole series comes in first. After that, the Toy Story series. They're the most popular sick day movies. That's followed by Frozen, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. That's the new one with Johnny Depp.
Right? I never watched that one.
It's terrible.
Me either. And Moana.
Great movie.
Are your sick day movies. And I do this story for our Randy, for you and everybody else our age, a Playboy playmate who appeared in Ghostbusters and ZZ Top's Legs music video has passed away. It was reported Wednesday that Kimberly Heron died October 28th in Santa Barbara. She was 65. She's a model and actress, appeared on the covers of more than a dozen magazines, including Playboy in 1982 and 93. In addition to Ghostbusters, she appeared in Romancing the Stone with Michael Douglas, Kathleen Turner, and Danny DeVito, and Beverly Hills Cop 2 with Eddie Murphy. But the Legs video was, oh my gosh, so huge.
Huge.
When we were teenagers.
Completely transformed the band.
Yes. Videos. The MTV era.
Of all the bands, for ZZ Top to take off in the video age was probably the biggest surprise.
Finally, Elton John has done 269 shows on his Farewell Yellow Brick Road tour.
At one mall.
183 of them in America. The final three American shows start tonight with the first of three nights at Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles. He said it has been everything that he has wished for and more.
It's been the most amazing, amazing reception. And it's like a love fest between me and the audience. We've changed a couple of things around for this leg of the tour. I'm enjoying playing and singing more on this tour than I've ever done. And I think the band are playing better. I'm singing better, and I'm playing better. So when you're in that kind of frame and you're on that kind of role, the shows just take care of themselves.
Elton, no stranger to Dodger Stadium. He played two shows there in 1975. Here he is talking about ending the tour there.
So it was a seminal point in my career, and it was the kind of peak of my career, and it was just so enjoyable. And I came to America first in 1970 in August, and I played the Troubadour Club, and that kind of launched me with Robert Hilburn's review in the Los Angeles Times. It prodded me forward much quicker than it would normally would have done. And so I started in Los Angeles, and I want to finish here. And Dodger Stadium is by far the only venue to play outside in this city that's worth its salt because it has so much history. I love baseball. It's a beautiful stadium. There's palm trees. And I didn't want to play anywhere else.
So the first show is tonight. Second show is Saturday, the finale Sunday, which will be streamed live on Disney Plus at 8 p.m., 11 p.m. Eastern. It'll begin with Countdown to Elton Live featuring special fan messages, interviews with Elton, and more. And we will be airing the final song of the show here on DVE. That's expected to be around 1 a.m. Monday. So if you're a big fan and you want to hear it, you can tune in. Windy and cold, snow today. Temperatures in the upper 30s. Wind chills in the 20s. We're at 30 now at DVE.
All right, I looked it up. They have bison, they have wild boar, they have venison, they have ostrich, they have kangaroo, they have rabbit. I have not seen camel.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's only available in store and not online.
Maybe it has a season.
Yeah. It's seasonal.
Camel's not in season.
Yeah. Wait till the spring.
Yeah, when they run upstream. The Georgia runoff is 3 weeks away, and the candidates are stumping vigorously. Last night, Herschel Walker made his case for why he would be the best pick for Georgia in this Senate runoff.
Oh, you ever watch a stupid movie late at night hoping it's going to get better, don't get better, but you keep watching it anyway? Because the other night, I was watching this movie. I was watching this movie called Fright Night, Freak Night, or some type of night, but it was about vampires. I don't know if you know vampires are some cool people, are they not? But I'm going to tell you something that I found out. A werewolf can kill a vampire. Did you know that? I never knew that, so I didn't want to be a vampire anymore. I wanted to be a werewolf. But then, anyway, as I'm watching this movie, and let me tell you how stupid it is, because it's 1 in the morning. So I'm watching my TV, are these kids watching their TV, a vampire kill on their TV? So you know it's kind of stupid, but I'm still watching, though. As I'm watching this show, what was funny, these kids had a vampire in their attic at their house. So they were watching their TV. Now I'm watching my TV, are they watching their TV, or they see the vampire killer on their TV?
He's got my vote. Look.
This is a show. Wow. I mean, he needs his own show. Forget any kind of role in the Congress.
I mean, now that it doesn't totally matter for balance of the Senate, let's put him in and just see how much better this gets. Come on, Georgia. You can do it.
But I am with him on the, you ever watch a bad movie, you think it's going to get better and it doesn't, and you
That's
keep
why
watching.
I'm going to vote for him, Bill. Established residency.
The truth.
Relatable.
Roy Wood Jr. took the stage last night in New York, and he did that entire speech just to show how funny it actually
it's
was.
Really funny.
And people were howling. And he goes, that's exactly what Herschel Walker just said today. He did it word for word. Oh, Herschel.
Like, what was that speech going to be about?
I don't know. Reproductive rights.
How do you get that far off the mark?
Anyways, I paid for a lot of abortions. Thanks for coming, folks.
His speechwriters are just sitting in the wings like, what? What the hell is this?
No, they're not. They wrote that. Those are his speechwriters. They're all like, thumbs up to him while he's doing that. Good stuff.
I mean, I get some credits on Chappelle's show. Might as well keep this thing rolling.
Mike has your sports coming up. The Bills-Browns game, it looks like they're going to move it now. I'm pissed about this. I want to see them play
in 6 feet of snow.
I know. Yes.
So it's tough to keep the field clear.
It would take forever.
Oh, come on. It would be fun, though.
Yeah.
You know, they're robbing us of a really fun game to watch.
Remember the Winter Classic in Buffalo snowed the whole time they had trouble.
Yeah, but was it wasn't like 6 feet
was
of snow.
It was like flurries.
No, yeah, it was like flurries. Actually, I don't think there was a ton of snow, but it kind of flurried during the game.
Yes.
Geez, that was a long time ago.
Literal shovel passes every play. You have to dig your way out.
Mike Sports next, DVE.
DVE Sports.
What? Memories.
Not kidding. Steely singing memories.
I'm pissed about this game in Buffalo, Mike.
Did they move it?
Pursuit's got a sport. It looks like they're gonna. I get that it's dangerous for people to go trekking out into the 6 feet of snow.
You can't actually play a game with 6 feet of snow on the field.
People could die. But, I mean,
I love being a fan at miserable weather games.
Me too.
Because when it works out your way at the end, you feel like you earned it.
Yes.
You feel like you contributed.
Well, I got news for you. It might not be that miserable here Sunday, but it will not be pleasant.
No. And, relative to our conversation with Missy, I am much more concerned about Max Starks, the other sideline reporter in the tag team, because Max is an Arizona guy and a Florida guy and not a cold weather guy.
No, you're going to have to bundle him up like Moscow on the Hudson. He's going to have a big fur coat on.
I don't even know if we sell boots that big here.
Isn't his thing he doesn't wear a jacket?
Oh, he'll start.
He doesn't wear a jacket on the sidelines during games?
No, he does.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought that was, like, his thing.
No, his thing is living in fear of temperature dipping below 45 degrees.
Oh. Well, it's not even going to be close to that Sunday.
I think guys like playing in those games, too.
I think certain guys like playing in those games, and specialists do not.
Yeah, the nastier, the better.
I think the big guys like it, and receivers, quarterbacks, kickers, punters,
your
not
job
so much.
Involves running or catching.
Yeah.
Maybe not so much.
Getting hit in that weather? Oh. Having to tackle guys. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, trying to tackle Nick Chubb
wrapping somebody
in
up.
The freezing cold has to suck.
But to me, that's part of the allure of football, too, is you play it in just about any condition other than lightning.
I mean, it seems like this storm they're talking about Sunday might be one of those the interstates are closed kind of storms. So
that's bad.
I get. Yeah, 6 feet in one day.
So it's more about a public safety thing than a...
Yes.
We don't want to play in these conditions.
I'm assuming. I mean, just because you can't bring 80,000 people out in that kind of weather.
Did you catch the Maction last night? Little Central Michigan.
Saturday, I did not.
Western Michigan.
I was otherwise engaged.
Little flash blizzard cropped up in that one.
Yeah, good visually. Very cool. Love that in football this time of year. But
well, that's why people were pissed whenever they put out the renderings of the potential new Bills stadium and it looked like a dome. Everybody was livid because they were like, that's one of the best parts about Buffalo.
Right. Be like Green Bay with a dome.
You get over it quick, though. They had the same thing going on in Minnesota, the same dynamic.
And now they're like, thank God we have
really
a dome.
Like their dome. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, hey, you mean we don't have to stand in the parking lot 4 hours before the game when it's minus five?
Have you seen their stadium? It's awesome. It looks like a Viking ship.
I mean, it might be part of why they're 7-1 right now, or 8-1, whatever they are.
8-1.
They're good.
Yeah.
Sports is brought to you by Dormont Appliance. Kenny Pickett and the Steelers getting ready for the Bengals on Sunday at Acrisure Stadium. Pickett admittedly not playing the way he wants to play, but he's starting to figure things out as he plays.
Yeah, there's, you know, it's tighter windows, obviously, in the NFL, and you have to know how to throw each ball differently, right? You can't throw the same ball for every route or every situation. So it's just learning that and timing with the guys. And, you know, there was a lot of timing throws out there in the past couple weeks that, you know, I don't think we would have been making earlier in the year with the less time I've had with these guys. So it's something that we're going to continue to build on. But, you know, definitely seen improvement so far.
Yeah, Pickett's also already figured out that tight end Pat Freiermuth has been an underutilized target in the red zone where the Steelers have struggled.
Yeah, no, he's another guy that can get a lot more involved. You know, that's something we'll look at and we'll continue to do. You know, the two targets we had to him, that we had the one PI, and then we just missed on the one back shoulder, but it's something that we got to keep working at. And, you know, those were two good opportunities, but I think we could definitely get more.
Little surprise. I anticipated Pickett not hitting the ground running once they went to him. But I'm a little surprised he hasn't been better in the red zone, because the first thing he started to do really well at training camp was throw fades in seven shots.
We saw that when we were there.
Mm-hmm.
He started dropping the ball in the bucket, and it seemed like he never stopped. I guess that's the difference between practice and the game.
Talking about practice.
But I thought he had a real knack for that. Hopefully he can rediscover that. The ground game got going last Sunday against the Saints. Got going like it hasn't since 2016. But guard James Daniels wouldn't necessarily be opposed to making plays in the passing game either.
Of course, his running the ball is nice, but passing the ball and getting 20, 30 yard pass plays are also nice. So wherever we can do to move the ball as an offense, I'm okay with it. So it really doesn't matter for me.
Steelers and the Bengals Sunday at Acrisure. Penguins are in Minnesota to take on the Wild tonight. Penn 6-7-3. Wild 7-7-2. Pittsburgh has gone 6-0-1 in its last seven games against Minnesota, and the Pens power play has clicked at a 35.6% success rate in those games. 16-45. That's an 8 o'clock puck drop in Minnesota. And on your Pens flagship, 105.9. The X American hockey note of this hour, the man Pittsburgh loves to hate, John Tortorella, is poised to coach his 1,400th game tonight when the Flyers visit the Bruins.
I think I've done a 180 on him.
Did he coach the Flyers before?
Done a 360.
In the past.
All the way back
he
to
did not. Turned around and hated him again.
He coached Tampa, Vancouver, Columbus, Rangers. The Rangers, and now the Flyers. John Tortorella, 680, 547, and 37, and 135, because the NHL's got such a screwed up, they used to have ties, and now they have overtime shootout losses. But no American coaches hit the 1,400-game plateau, and he is one of six U.S.-born coaches to win a Stanley Cup, although I throw John Cooper of Tampa in that category as well as kind of a seventh with an asterisk because he's Canadian, but he learned how to coach in the United States. I love Torts just because he's volatile and you never know what he's going to say next. And he is a good copy, as we say in the industry. And he's an American.
The Snow Bowl was played in 2017 in Buffalo when they beat the Colts 7-6. In that game, there had been 16 inches of snow, and nine more fell during the game.
During the game.
They're getting 10 inches tonight in Buffalo. So if that's going to be an additional 3 to 6 feet coming Sunday.
Yeah, they can't play the game.
3 to 6 feet in one day.
I mean, dude.
Does that sound a little bit
even talking about
exaggerated?
I grew up on the banks of Lake Erie.
Yeah, that can happen.
Lake effect snow, man.
That seems like a lot to me.
It is. It's not normal, but it happens.
That seems like one of those weatherman, let's go scare everybody into buying milk and bread deals.
Do you think weathermen really do that? Do they care? Yeah. What are you, 11?
I don't know. I think there's a certain scare tactic involved with weather reporting.
To what end?
They're in cahoots.
I don't know to what end, but they always make it seem like it's never snowed before in Pittsburgh.
Is he on a board of town talk or something like that?
Yeah, it's going to get a little rough. Buck up.
3 to 6 feet is not a little rough.
No.
I'm curious to see what it actually turns out being.
But that's a funny take.
Because if it's going to be 9 inches, somebody's going to have some splaining to do.
Well, you can cut that soundbite out and use it whenever you like, Joe.
Kids nowadays are soft. My day, played football in 13 feet of snow.
I'm not going there. I'm just saying I think weather reports at times are exaggerated.
Oh, no doubt. I just have never heard one this
It's a scientific
egregious.
Model. And they say this could happen. Remember, we're predicting the future. So we're using the information we have, and this is what it's spitting out and telling us. So based on everything that we see, here's the scientific deduction. It might not be spot on. This is called an expectation.
All I'm saying is somebody got to start keeping score.
I mean, if my mom was doing the weather.
So what are you going to do? Go to Newsmax and get the weather you want that you like? Oh, it'll be sunny on Sunday, Mike. Yeah. Does that make you feel better? Go out and enjoy the day. Yeah. Don't bring a coat.
No, I'll move to San Diego. It'll
show those weather guys who really knows what's
it'll
going
be
on.
Steve Martin.
Don't dress for the weather.
Sunny, 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 sunny.
Partly cloudy.
Did you ever hear Mike Tomlin on Weatherman?
No.
He He reacted one time. He says, that's the job I want. Yeah, it might rain.
Well, the Steelers might win.
The implication
Sunday.
Being there's not a lot of pressure to be exact.
Because it's science. It's not, you're not Kreskin. It's predicting the future.
Okay, so just don't try to terrify me. Just say, yeah, hey, might get a lot of snow. Be ready.
I think that's what they're doing.
No, I think they over-exaggerate.
Well, that's not exaggerating. What I will agree with you is that they sensationalize it.
We lead the news with the weather in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Most of the people have lived here a long time. It's not that big a stunning development.
No, but people care. I mean, have you ever talked to anybody from here? The weather is like all we talk about.
We should be talking about Kenny Pickett.
Well, you're
we
the
do.
One.
Sounds wow. like Val's fed up over there.
She is headed up to here with Pickett talk. Yeah, you keep yelling fake news at the meteorologist over
news.
There.
I'm just saying, reeling in a little, guys, you know. Perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah, be like Mike.
Tweak that Doppler.
Mike, how come you can't pick all the games perfectly? Why don't all your predictions come true?
Because the refs screw me in some of them.
Well, there you go. Now's the perfect time to download FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge, America's number one sports book, because right now, new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Ask Mike who he likes. He'll guarantee it. That's how it works. Free bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just sign up with promo code Randy. Of course, I'm kidding about Mike guaranteeing that he has no affiliation with FanDuel. But they do have all your favorite bets, from money line to point spreads to player props. You can combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with same game parlay. With live betting, you'll get updated odds on games that have already started. Get your winnings paid fast, all on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. I love the live betting feature. That's my favorite one. I love looking at a game and then watching how it's all unfolding and going, I actually think the Packers are going to pull this out somehow. I'll take the points. Sign up today with promo code Randy for your no-sweat first bet. Promo code Randy. Make every moment more this season with FanDuel. Official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 or older, present in Pennsylvania. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's the DV Morning Show. Randy Bauman, along with Bill Crawford, Val Porter. Val was talking in the 8 o'clock hour about the lab-grown meat that the FDA has just approved.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're probably all headed down that path sooner or later.
Yep.
Will cows be extinct?
Yeah, we don't
lab
know.
Lab meat.
Who knows? But I know it'll be a tough transition for many. Like Stephen Lynch sang about when he visited us a few years ago, several years ago, in the old studio. Here's Stephen Lynch live on DVE.
Right now. your southern fried chicken and, well, I'll just have fruit. How's that T-bone? No, really, it's cool. I'll just suck on this turnip root. With a couple chickpeas. Kill me, please. I'm tired of hummus and bulgur wheat. Tofurkey, tofu. Yourself, I want some meat. I respect every creature, the birds and the bees, but I'd eat the out some Whopper with cheese. Believe me, I'd that Whopper with cheese.
It's hard to edit yourself.
I'd rather eat a hobo's egg.
Stephen Lynch from the album Lion. Well, that was the live cut in studio with Bill and I.
That was the old studio.
The old, yeah. Old studio.
2 studios ago.
Yeah, that record went to number one for him on Amazon.
It was really
and
good.
iTunes. It, just so damn funny. And I was looking up the name. Charlie King was the accompanist on banjo on that one. And Courtney J, I believe, was the singer. She's
from Pittsburgh.
She's from Pittsburgh. Yeah. Yeah. She lives in Nashville now, but she's from Pittsburgh and, she's amazing.
He's so good. And he always sneaks into town without doing press. Cause he's been here a couple times.
He hit me up the last time after it was like the day before his show. And I was like, call 2 days before and let's get you on, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she has sang with Gary Louris of the Jayhawks, Matthew Sweet, Rhett Miller from the old 97s, Taj Mahal, Butch Walker, Indigo Girls, Band of Horses. She's pretty
accomplished.
Accomplished, yeah, the North Hills.
She's terrific.
Courtney J, amazing. That's it for us for today. Thanks to Missy Matthews, PFT commenter, for joining us. Anything you missed that you want to hear, go back and listen to it with the DV Morning Show podcast start to finish on the iHeartRadio app or at DV.com. But really, anywhere you get podcasts, you'll find us start to finish each day, the DVE Morning Show in podcast form. Bartnick told me he listens in California on double speed every day.
Oh, good. So we all sound like Mickey Mouse?
Yeah, I'm like, isn't it hard to hang out with somebody after you listen to them talk at double speed? Also, I talk fast sometimes. That must be even more annoying than my regular voice. Well, this one's for you, Joe. Thanks so much for listening. We really do appreciate it. Get better. Joe had low back surgery, so he's been convalescing.
Oh, get well.
Yeah, he's going to be 100%. I think this week is his go week. He's good. I think he's been laid up for like a month, and now he's finally good.
Okay,
yeah.
So he's going to go to Cancun then?
Probably. That last time we talked, he's like, I think I have COVID. Anyways, I'm off to Cancun to do some shows.
Like COVID and hernia surgery or something. He's like, I had double hernia surgery. They shaved me. I have COVID. I'm going to the beach.
Yep. Yeah, then I got to go do a show in Thailand. Then it's off to Nepal, and who knows? That's it. Tomorrow on the show, we'll have the band Buffalo Rose, their CD release party tomorrow night at the Thunderbird. I got to hear it. Their brand new record. Oh, my Lord. that recording is just majestic.
Yeah, they're really
incredible.
Good.
So really looking forward to that. And if you never heard the EP they did with Tom Paxton, who is like, you know, a contemporary of Dylan. He was a part of the whole Gaslight scene back in the day. They did a 4-song EP with him that is amazing, called Rabbit, that was released earlier this year, that was up for Grammy consideration. Highest Whoa. Recommendation you go check that out, because it's really cool. And also on the show tomorrow, Sean Collier, Dave Damashek, we get you ready. It's Steeler Friday here on the program. Michelle Michaels up next with the Electric Lunch at noon. Chris is in for Michelle. Okay. So, Chris.
She'll have the electric lunch.
We'll have the electric lunch, yeah. That's coming up next, DV.
I'm finished. You stay classy, Pittsburgh.
Don't touch your face.
I got him tight, Pittsburgh, all day, baby.
For now, you guys call me Ronald.
Would you not eat my pants?
Ronald.
Ah! Ah! You always say ah at the end of the ride.